fucking nerd. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
Hi, this is Chi.
Mini Del Macho.
I'm Emilio.
Oh, hey, look at that.
Look at that.
We got your name.
Mm-hmm. Nothing fancy this week. All right. Before we get started, we got a few new Patreons.
Yeah. Thank you, Matt and Derek. Hit me up. Well, Derek, anyway, if you get a shirt, hit me up. Send me a DM on Discord, and you can get there by going to dlgaming.net and then clicking on Discord. And I'm in There's Logic. So that's how that works.
Speaking of that free t-shirt, do we have any potential new graphics in
We're supposed
in
to be
pipeline?
Working on it, but everything here takes months. It's like...
do we have any graphic artist listeners that are interested in, you know, putting together something interesting for us?
I talked to Clown Lotion, but he's not moving. Chad's busy getting married and shit.
That's true.
Yep. Also, kind of want to talk about a new project I have going on. Roberta makes a really good salsa. She's my mother-in-law-ish. And we're going to start...
your brother made that.
No.
Okay.
And we're going to start selling it.
That's awesome.
The company's called... It's a seed-based. It has no tomatoes or vegetables in it. It's all seed-based. So it's called Insidious Salsa Company. Insidious. Get it?
I get it.
And okay. So, yeah. So
awesome.
More
good
on
that.
Yeah, we want to hit market within 2 months, so we'll see how it goes.
That's awesome.
All right. Any ideas for a logo?
No. Well, he has some ideas, but I don't like them so far.
Who's he?
Christian, her brother.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're going to go into business together.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Salsa.
I was thinking of just using a seed, like just a very plain, just a seed.
Yeah.
You know, like a teardrop. But I don't know. I was thinking about logos the other day. Look at Bethesda. Gigantic fucking company. Just a square. Literally just a square. That's it. A blue square. Just like, wow. Maybe you don't need much.
How spicy is it? I mean, I remember trying it, but that was like months ago.
It varies.
Ago.
We have, so we're going through different like prototypes and stuff like that, and we're going to land on one. It's on the spicier side.
Yeah.
I would say people that don't like spice probably won't like it, but it does have chocolate in it, dark chocolate shavings in it, so that sweetens it up too.
Okay.
It's really good.
Yummy.
I can't stop eating this stuff.
Dark chocolate, anything, sign me up.
Yeah.
Delicious. All right. We got a lot to go through, so we should get started here. Let's take it off with On the Radar. Some games that have come to our attention this week. First one is Generation Zero.
Boy, man, I really hope that the trailer, when there was gameplay, most of it was gameplay. I really hope it all holds up. It seems like it reminded us a couple of games, some State of Decay 2 in
DayZ.
There, and some DayZ. And so it's a four-player co-op, but I don't think...
In an open world.
Yeah, it's an open world. So it's not a predetermined path you go through, like a Left 4 Dead or anything like that.
And it's strictly PvE.
Yeah, strictly PvE. And so this time you're fighting robots. And it seems a lot like... Chi mentioned that it looks a lot like that Black Mirror episode where those dog creatures are going around.
Season 2, episode 1.
Yeah, sure.
I think.
Wow.
No.
No,
I'm
this
lying.
Season like
I'm
4.
Lying.
Right? It's the most recent season.
Black Mirror only has 2 seasons.
No.
No. Oh, just kidding.
It's got like 3 or 4, right?
Just kidding. You're right. The most recent season.
I was impressed.
And it's like the 4th episode.
Not impressed at all.
Never mind.
Right after.
God.
Yeah, it was horrible. Yeah,
anyway.
The robotic dog one. You're right.
So, yeah, it looks like the smallest ones might be that dog size. And then there's flying ones and really big ones. And even it looks like maybe a boss character would be like a conglomeration of like, it looks like a fucking equipment that you'd see at a what do you call it? Like a job site or something like that.
It maybe looks like
they're
a
building
smaller
themselves.
Version of those big things in Star Wars with the legs.
Yeah, the
mammoth looking.
They
things,
all look like Boston Dynamics robots.
Yeah, they look realistic. They look like robots that could actually exist pretty soon here.
Well, this reminds me of that game that was kind of popular for a little bit, but had some trouble with the server. Shadow Hunter.
Yeah. We talk about it all the time.
Shadow Hunt. Yeah.
Hunt,
or
Shadow.
Hunt.
Yeah, that was kind of the vibe I got from this
game. It's Hunt, Shadow, something.
What is it?
I forgot.
Hunt Showdown.
Oh, we're talking about Showdown? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is a little different in that the enemies are persistent. So let's say you blow a robot's leg off, but have to retreat, and you sign on a week later, that robot will still be alive with one leg. And
oh,
so
interesting.
I think the game, I think you're searching the whole, there is a story. And from what I could tell, you could discover the mystery of what's going on. But you got to keep playing and reduce the number of robots for you to like attack their home base or something. So I like the whole concept. I mean, I hope big time that they pull this off. Do we have a developer, Bobby?
And what I
sure
noticed.
Do.
Avalanche Studios. Who the fuck are they?
That
are
sounds
they?
Familiar, actually.
Let's see. Ooh, Mad Max. Yeah.
Just Cause.
Yeah, that's a huge franchise.
Oh, that should be good.
Okay.
The interesting thing about this, too, it's just like DayZ, it's a lot of scavenging. But also, when and like the one game you were talking about last week, I forgot.
Me too.
With the Dark Souls, like, tech. Mech game.
The Surge.
So when you destroy these drones and these robots, if you damage them in certain areas or if you kill them in ways that doesn't damage their equipment, you get to salvage the technology and improve your own equipment. So that's kind of cool. So there are benefits to killing and scavenging these drones.
And the other thing, too, I think you're really underpowered here. I mean, you have rifles going up against mechs, basically. Mm-hmm. In some cases,
I think I saw some explosives.
Like, yeah. So you know, it's like all home base kind of stuff.
Yeah,
like wherever you can make, and like Red Dawn, and they showed a few times that they were using the environment to help them along, like blowing up a power converter when the thing was walking right by and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm stoked. Never saw this. I think Fastidious. Thanks for the link. Hmm.
So 2019.
Yep.
No price tag yet.
Hope you pull it off. I think we can think this studio has made good games, so I just hope it goes on that list.
I don't know. I'm not excited for it. I loved DayZ, but that was more PvP than PvE.
Yeah.
This reminds me too much of State of Decay, and I was extremely underimpressed with State of Decay.
The problem with State of Decay was all that micromanaging at home. And this doesn't—I don't think has any of it.
I don't think there's any fort building or anything in this.
So that's why my expectations are high. What do you
interesting
think?
Interesting side
what
note.
You can see?
Not my type of game, but this looks like that Alien one we were talking about.
Yeah. Like, but that was more like a Left 4 Dead clone, right?
Was it more Left 4 Dead and this more open
point
world?
Point A to point B.
Okay.
Yeah, remember that one, guys?
Yeah.
It was Left 4 Dead with aliens.
Yeah. We talked about it a few weeks ago.
Yep.
This takes place in the 1980s in Sweden. I heard them mention that in the gameplay trailer, but nothing about what I'm seeing really like stands out. Like, hey,
that's
it's Swedish. The 80s.
Yeah. Or 80s.
But it is interesting that they're choosing a period.
I thought it was funny that they said, like, create your own 80s hero.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a weird way to.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird way to put it. And I think they're going for kind of a Stranger Things look. This looks very like sci-fi, like Super 8, you know, like that almost Goonies-esque, but...
When somebody says 80s, I'm thinking more of that one PUBG ripoff that with the 80s theme.
Oh.
Yeah, the one that...
That's what I'm thinking, like epic. Neon lights and...
Yeah, I forget the name of
those are the 80s heroes I'm thinking of, like Arnold Schwarzenegger and stuff.
80s is interesting because like you still have most of the same weapons, but there's something... They're more like... you're not going to have AR-15s and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see. High hopes for me. Everybody else doesn't care.
All right. Next up is Lawnmower Game 2.
I can't believe this is on here. Like, I saw this on Discord.
Why are we talking about this?
Because somebody put it in listener questions.
Which goes to show, if you put a game in listener questions, we'll talk about it, no matter how terrible it is.
Well, he talked about how his neighbor mows his lawn every 2 days, no matter what. And he's like, he must be retired because it doesn't need to be cut. And he just cuts it all. He rides his mower around, and this is what he does. And he's like, maybe I could buy him something like this, and so he could have more time. So I had a little story behind it. So I forgot who linked this, but thanks. It looks absolutely awful. One of the worst things I've seen on this screen since we got it. Would you guys
You're
concur?
Not lying. You're not lying.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Even when he's driving through grass, the grass is not being cut, which completely, like, just negates the purpose of...
Yeah, he's just driving down the road and all what is supposed to be a lawnmower.
Yeah, but no, like, he was going over grass, dude. Yeah. And the grass wasn't being cut.
It's like playing really forklift sim without being able to forklift anything.
Yeah. It looks like an asset flip. Now, what's interesting here is this game is 99 cents. However, the original lawnmower game is $1.99.
Oh, that's, but you know, they lost their way. Everybody knows that that's where the quality lawnmower action is, part one. But, Bobby, what's the full name of this game? It's Lawnmower Game to Tokyo Drifter, Drift, right?
Drifter, yeah.
I haven't seen the lawnmower drift once. There's no drifting. Yeah. It's literally just left and right.
Well, let's take a look at Lawnmower Game. This looks even worse. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Unreal 4 engine, though, guys.
That logo for the Unreal 4 is the best looking thing in this game.
Oh, well, the lawnmower is moving a lot slower in this one.
Oh, gosh, guys.
It appears to be on a lawn.
And the cut's not... Grass isn't being cut again.
I think it is being cut.
I have nothing to add for the shit game. Can we move on? Is... Can we please move on? This is such shit.
You are right.
I would rather watch grass grow like than fucking watch this fucking shit
grass
game.
Not be cut?
Yes.
Holy shit. All right, let's move on before we leave shit. She's got a heart out, and she wants to get some real serious game.
Yeah, I do.
All right, next game is... Oh, this isn't on Steam. Inmost. So this is being developed by Chucklefish, who made Starbound, and I think they helped publish. I don't know if they helped develop Stardew Valley.
Stardew Valley, yeah.
But Inmost is their new game. It is a ghoulishly atmospheric puzzle platformer that is releasing next year.
It reminds me of Inside, and maybe what's that other one that they
Limbo.
Limbo, mm-hmm. Kind of like that, but this is pixel art. Real atmospheric, dark, pixel art. I mean, they pretty much, but, it looks like a lazy afternoon game that I could just like load up and play through in a day or something and enjoy myself. What do you guys think of the looks?
I do like pixel art, but I think 8-bit is a little too low. This looks like 8-bit, like, yeah, 16-bit is my favorite type of art style for 2D games. And this thing's just a little too pixelated.
They did a good job with those 8-bits.
Yeah,
right?
It definitely does look good. It is very smooth flowing, and the shadow effects are really nice. But
yeah, I think the lighting is what's really making a difference on this game.
Speaking of pixels, I don't know if we covered it or if I watched it independently and then I came back and then never mentioned it. But do you guys remember an 8-bit pixel game where the pixels were actually simulated? And they're not pixels. It's actually like polygons, but it made it look like an 8-bit game. And so they're able to do effects that we've never seen in an 8-bit game, dude.
No.
God damn. So I watched it independently and didn't bring it up. All right. Somebody try to find that out. It's a 8-bit game where the... Is that me?
Mm-hmm.
Where the... where all the pixels are simulated with polygons. Thanks. And anyway, I don't know. If it's cheap, I'll pick this up. It looks good.
Yeah, I mean, if it's made by Chucklefish, I mean, that's it. Or is it made by, published or made by Chucklefish?
I believe they are the developer, but I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
Every time you say Chucklefish or anybody says
developed
that,
by Hidden Layer Games.
I think of Chucklefuck, and it's just like making me giggle on the inside.
What's a Chucklefuck?
That's probably just a military term when someone's an idiot.
Shut up, Chucklefuck. Yeah, I like it. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's got a lot of K sounds. K sounds work good.
Those hard sounds, yeah.
Those hard consonants. Cacao.
I love the word fuck. It's got the f, the and the k.
All right. So, Inmost. I don't know. No price on that one yet. Looks like it could be good. Last game that we are going to bring up was something that I just found recently. This is called Flotsam. It's kind of like Waterworld. So it's a survival game or a city builder, but you're making a city out of trash from the ocean. And it's post-apocalyptic like Waterworld, but it's very colorful and fun. The graphics almost look like they remind me of... what is that puzzle game that I play?
This looks fucking awesome.
This looks like this shit I see on the bay where you build your own playground in the ocean.
On the bay?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Those inflatable ocean playgrounds.
Yeah.
Where I've you connect them, you could bounce on them, you can
slide. This is a real thing?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I've never seen this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go to the beach sometime.
Right.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Dude. If I had a motorcycle like you, I think I'd go down, the Pacific Coast Highway,
yeah,
like with my shirt off every day, just like in the sunset. Every time the sunset, I'd just be like, I'm playing like something from Top Gun.
So riding a motorcycle 60 plus miles an hour with no shirt?
Yeah.
Nope.
Ouch.
Nope.
Not going to happen.
With your mouth open, make right. sure you do that too.
Yeah. Yeah, no helmet, no shirt, no gloves. Basically naked.
I live dangerous.
Got even a mosquito at that speed.
Yeah, I've gotten hit in the face when I have my visor up by a June bug. And
ooh, that's a big boy.
That's a big boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, not fun.
Uh-huh. Deponia was the game that I was thinking of. The graphics look very much like Deponia. Kind of that post-apocalyptic, yet cartoonish and still fun, very
almost
colorful.
Almost Wind Waker-esque as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
It looks good. The only thing that scares me, the publisher is Kongregate, and I'll never forget that name, Kongregate with a K.
The pay-to-play started with Kongregate.
Oh, did it?
Or Kongregate?
Kongregate, I think Kongregate? It is. Kongregate?
Yeah. Yeah, Kongregate games. I swear.
So what else have
pay
they made?
To play?
Well, what I remember
pay
them
to play,
from
is... Because you had to buy the like tokens or something.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, my only experience with them was Animation Throwdown and the Quest for Cards, which was a card game, you know, in quotes there, where you would... it was like a card game, but you had to get all these, like she said, tokens to play it. And it was it was like a mobile game that was just like a complete time sink. And Animation Throwdown had like, you know, Family Guy, American Dad, like all the cartoon characters like built into them. So I was like, oh, this looks fun. But it ended up being like the worst possible excuse for a game that I've ever encountered.
It's so crazy because at the same time that he was saying that, Chad was loving the game.
Chad loves this game, yeah. I remember him talking
Chad
about it.
Chad played a lot of mobile games. I think he was a little more accustomed to that.
Yeah, maybe.
That, yeah, here's Animation Throwdown. But
he's also very good at card games, so maybe he was able to like get enough tokens to do playing.
Maybe, but it was all like on timers, so you could pay money to speed up those timers. You know, it was one of those things.
Yeah.
I remember you and him saying that eventually the game got a little more complex. But in the early stages of this, it was so mind-numbingly.
You're
boring.
Basically playing a war, right? If your card is better than your war,
it's like that.
Oh, okay.
But then later on, there's elemental combinations and more Pokemon-esque stuff.
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway,
but and this was really, really popular, I think, maybe like 5 years ago, and maybe still is today, but I try to stay away from it as much as possible. But games that are designed to just get money out of you, and that comes before.
And you're afraid of that happening with this, correct?
Well, I don't know. If it's got the same publisher, it makes me a little bit suspicious.
So what's unique about Flotsam?
Flotsam,
that you notice from digging into it, anything?
I like the idea. I like the way that it looks. It's not out yet. It's coming out 2019. No price on it yet.
Okay.
I mean, it just looks good. I like the look of it. I like the idea.
It looks like the sea resource gathering, build up your base type of thing.
Mm-hmm. What is the goal?
To build a society that floats on water.
Okay.
And I'm sure you're going to be attacked by pirates and
shit. Is it kind of like, what's that one game that you really like and the other guys are into where it's like the assembly lines?
Factorio.
Maybe it's Factorio and water. Who knows?
Less complicated.
You liked it?
I did.
And you got out of it before you lost your soul.
Yeah, before, dude.
Because that is a soul-sucking game.
It really is. It's just trying to get that one more step infinitely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
cool. I think it looks great. Guys, check it out. If any of this sounds cool, when you take a look at it, you'll probably be sold.
Yeah,
but let's hope that the microtransactions don't ruin it.
Yeah, I'm just worried it would be something like you build things, then it's like, oh, you have to wait this long for this to be built, or you can pay to increase the speed. You know, just shit like that. I don't know. I could see it going south, but that's a good game idea there, and it hasn't really been done yet. It's like Waterworld, but fun.
Yeah.
And no Dennis Hopper. All right.
I really
like
that movie.
You being a film buff, was Waterworld really terrible? I don't remember the movie.
I got to rewatch it. I saw it in the theater and I saw it once after that, but I've never really watched it as an adult and given it like a... It's day in court. Like, but I'm very curious. Like, I want to go back and watch it because it is notorious for being like a bad movie. And I don't remember it being that bad.
I do remember watching the Waterworld
Oh, Universal Studios.
Hey, Universal. That was pretty cool. That explosion. Was pretty cool.
Yeah, they're still doing that. That's a good show.
Yeah.
But, all right. That's it for On the Radar. Let's talk about some games that we have been playing. Who wants to go first?
Maybe hey, let's get into some highlights.
Jazz
and enthusiasm in our voices, please. Yeah.
What do we even have to talk about? What's anything exciting? Because I got to talk about World of Warcraft. That's going to be a snooze. I'm telling you right now.
I'm curious to know a little bit more about Monster Hunter World, because as excited I was to play that game, now that it's out, I tried it out and then I kind of left it alone because I haven't really actually gotten anywhere past
that's where
tutorial
fishing
portion.
Gets you. You get bored as fuck of fishing. You're like, what else is there to do?
Yeah.
No.
You might want to blame yourself there for that.
I feel like with Monster Hunter World, you really got to put in a certain amount of sitting time in order to get anywhere in that game.
Yeah.
Because you can't just drop the game and not lose your save. It's like, they won't even let you exit the game until you finish your fucking job.
Yeah, they will.
No, I tried to escape and it wouldn't let me escape the quest.
If you're in a fight, you can't. But
really?
Yeah, you can leave any time as long as you're not in a fight.
I wasn't in a fight, though.
Gee, I'm in the same boat as you are.
I must be on some weird mission that wouldn't let me exit the game unless I've finished it or just left the damn mission.
That's aggressive. Hostage by the rain.
I don't know.
There is alt tab.
Well, I think what I had to do is just like leave the area and then just like make sure.
Maybe you're in a hostile area or something.
I don't know. But at the same time, I had to like completely drop the quest, leave the area. Maybe it's because they want me to retain whatever items I picked up.
Oh, maybe.
And then that way it saves the game and then it's safer to exit, therefore after. But I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like when you sit here and you're hunting down the like Kula Kachu kind of like bird monster thing, and like it takes a while and it takes a certain level of patience to chase them down after like beating them up.
Finding them is probably the biggest problem. Yeah. I guess
early game you don't have any tracking abilities, so the more you track a monster, the more adept you are at finding the monster later in the game.
Okay.
So if you constantly keep tracking
so do you hit the ground running, you're like, you hit and then you can start tracking right away?
Yes.
Or wow.
Yeah. Like, depends on, like, how much you fought the monster, how much you've tracked him. So right now, like, my T-Rex, I've tracked this thing so many times.
The big red one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As soon as I get dropped into the game, I just open up my map, and it's like, he's here. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
So,
so you haven't killed him?
Oh, I've killed him so many times.
What? So is it getting boring, killing the same thing over and over?
It was, but then, like, once I finished that piece of gear.
You soloed the T-Rex?
Yeah. I've soloed almost all the monsters.
Can I solo the T-Rex, even though I'm only like third mission in?
I don't think so. I soloed him the first time I was able to fight him.
Really?
Right. Yeah. So I think it's hunter rank five.
Does that mean like he attacked you while you were on a lower level?
No, like the actual mission. I don't fight anything.
Oh.
I don't have to.
Right.
So like I said, beeline. I never even saw a T-Rex before I had to fight him.
He was constantly pestering us while we were trying to go through our first levels.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he just showed
never
up.
Even
yeah,
saw
for
him.
Me,
yeah.
That was the same case.
It's kind of like one of these things where like it's just like a red, not a red herring, but just something that's supposed to fuck everything up for you.
Well, yeah, I think that's a good thing for this game.
I like it.
Like when you see something that's just kicking your ass, and you're like, oh, I got to run from it. And then later down the road, you're like, okay, now
all right,
take them on.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm at near the end game right now. I think I have to fight.
What?
Yeah, I think.
Are you doing all solo missions?
Have you
been playing with other people?
I do both. Mostly today. I played a little bit today. That was all solo. Yesterday was all with friends.
And how much time have you put in?
Yesterday I dropped probably like 14 hours.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, I know I like this game. It's just that unless I have time to invest in it, I'm not going to enjoy it. Because just like dropping in for 30 minutes, really feeling like I didn't get anywhere with it because I'm still trying to hunt down a monster or figure out what's what. And then unless I'm like sitting there for a minimum of an hour, I'm not going to enjoy the game. Because I do get sidetracked. I do want to catch a fucking fish in the ocean. So like it's just one of those things. It's like I just can't, I'm not like Minnie. I just can't run through it, get the mission done. I'm just like exploring everything, learning everything. And it's just one of those things that it takes time to do that.
Yeah. So yesterday I was playing with like three other friends, and we all had like our different piece of gear that we were going for.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all helping each other grind that piece of gear. Like one guy would just like grind a monster for like 2 hours, then we jump to the next guy's monster and we just grind out that piece of gear. So we're on this constant rotation of fighting different monsters.
How has it been connecting to friends' servers and whatnot?
It's a lot better than it was. I think I've had one or two disconnects all day yesterday.
I have had, from what I can hear from the people that I've been in voice chat with who are playing Monster Hunter, they're having just like nonstop problems.
Really?
Even recently?
Not Well, recent as in what, 4 or 5 days ago?
Yeah, I think they've come out with another update in like three days ago. So
when the way I think about it, you know, Capcom ever really made a online game outside of Street Fighter?
No.
Well, yeah. So it's like, so this is, I feel like the servers and the multiplayer element of it would be their weak point.
Well, the team that made this Monster Hunter for the console were also the same team that made it for PC. And this is the first time they've ever ported a game to the PC.
So it's you can definitely tell it feels very console-esque when you're playing it.
It definitely does, but it's impressive how good it is for it being the first time.
Yeah, especially a game this complex. Did you hear about that Special K?
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that's why you're having this.
Maybe. So yeah, there's a Special K mod.
Made by somebody that actually knows how to port things.
It was it's made by for a lot of other Japanese games. I think it's the same people who, or it's the same program that also runs for Nier Automata, which made that game run a lot smoother for PC. So it also works with Monster Hunter World.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And you can adjust all kinds of things like in the background that you can't adjust in the game.
And that's not in the workshop. You have to actually go into the INI files or something.
It's
like that.
It's not a Dainty, but it's similar. Yeah.
Okay. You're
just adjusting a few things. And it has a really, really simple...
Did you notice a big graphical difference?
No. I actually lowered the graphics down a bit to make it play better.
Yeah. What are you running? I have no idea what your rig is.
It's a 1070 with a i7-5280.
So you're pretty good. 280K. You're in the upper 80% top.
Yeah, it's okay. It's a more of a workstation CPU than it is a gaming CPU. So it's a 6-core.
Gotcha.
So once you beat this game, it sounds like you're close to beating this game. Once you beat the game, is there any replay value? Like, can you still do stuff in the world?
So this game, for the PC version, they don't have any of the
DLC?
Kind of like the DLC, but it's like a free DLC monsters. Mm-hmm. So once you get to the end game, after you fight the Elder Gods or Elder Dragons, and then I think that's end game right there. That's it. But then you have... there's like 5 or 6 other monsters that are out for console that we don't have yet. So
which will be coming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did they have to pay for those? Do you know?
I think it's all free. It's all free. Yeah.
That's very non-Capcom.
Yeah.
Like you got to pay for everything in Street Fighter.
Costumes. It's all ridiculous.
Yeah.
Damn. This is it's.
I'm glad you're enjoying it as much as you are.
I am so surprised enjoying it.
So my fucking Steam friends list, like when I open
everyone's playing.
I can't even see the first person that's not playing Monster Hunter World. I want to get into it. The only thing is, like, it seems like a lot of work. And when I finally sit down, a lot of that time is like I just want to decompress.
Yeah.
You know how much time how many times I like end up just playing fucking Elder Scrolls Legends and watching. Right now, I'm watching Top Gear. At the same time, and it's just so good to be able to watch TV.
Isn't it sad that like that's what gaming is becoming for us? I find myself doing that all the time. Like I'll turn on a hot stream, then I'll do something that's just kind of like not really gaming, but gaming that doesn't require a whole lot of attention or a lot of effort or a lot.
What are some other suggestions, Bobby?
I don't know. For me, it's WoW right now.
Yeah,
that's like a very involved game. I guess.
If you're raiding or if you're running a dungeon or a heroic.
But other than that, everyone's used to the same grind that you've been doing for the past decade, so that more or less that's the same.
Yeah.
With Monster Hunter World, I feel like there's a certain level, a certain threshold you have to be at of understanding in order to enjoy the game.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like once you're past that peak,
we're still in the learning phase.
It's a lot more fun.
Yeah.
Well, DRG, Deep Rock Galactic, was a game like that for me, too. It wasn't too demanding. Once you kind of learn it, it was pretty easy. Mm-hmm. And I found that game, even though there is some requirements, it still is kind of relaxing. But I have not played that game in almost 2 straight weeks now.
I invited you twice yesterday, but you were playing WoW.
Yeah. Well, obviously,
that's cool. That's cool.
WoW, you can't make any concessions with WoW. If I'm playing WoW, then... Mm-hmm. What's going on with DRG?
Before we move on off of Monster Hunter World, I just want to say, like, this game, it can be played in any way. Like, I was talking to it's kind of a big deal, and he plays the same way you do. Like, he plays he wants to do everything. He wants to take every side pass, and he wants to fish. And he's like at a Hunter rank 4. He's still having a good time, but like I felt like I was at past like Hunter rank 5 within like 2 hours, so you can just blow through the game if you want. You can take all those side missions. I was watching a tutorial like yesterday, like after I've been playing this game for quite a bit on how to use the hammer. It's like, what am I missing? Maybe I'm not doing the hammer right. And mm-hmm. my tactic is basically just get in their face and smash them. Just yeah. smash their face until they drop, because yeah. the hammer's really good at stunning if you hit them in the face.
Right.
And then I watched tutorials, basically 15 minutes of saying, smash them in the face hard. Yeah. So I was like, I picked the perfect weapon.
I'm nice.
Like, yeah.
It's basically just get in their face and just beat the shit out of
them. That's
good.
So you haven't switched off of the hammer.
I never even tried anything
else. You got the right weapon the first time. Yeah. That's good.
That's good. And there's a lot, 26 or 22?
I think there's like 16 different weapon types.
Oh, 16, okay.
And there's some crazy-ass weapons.
But for some reason, I feel like I'm not going to be able to solo things with the bow.
You have your little cat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm leveling him up. I got him some armor.
Yeah, he can aggro pretty well.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Cool. Bobby, still not interested.
No.
No, he's playing BFA, so he's
good. I'd rather play something 15 years old.
No, a lot of people are back into it, and they're enjoying it. I don't
know. You can't call that a 14-year-old game, 15-year-old.
It's been updated.
Yeah, I mean, it's a game that's been updated.
Holy shit, you're right. It is like 14, 15 years old.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
I forget how young I was when I was playing
it. Every now and then while I'm playing this game, like nonstop recently, like I just stop and think, this is nothing like the game I used to play. This is so different from, because a lot of people played during the peak, 06, 07, and yeah, they stopped playing at some point. They never went back, and they have this idea of what World of Warcraft is. It's not that anymore. Whatever you think it is anymore, it's very, very
different. You haven't been there since.
In what ways? You say this, but how so?
It's not even, I mean, you're doing a lot of the same stuff, so it looks the same, but the whole design philosophy of the game is completely different. Like, I talked a little bit about it in recent weeks, but it really emphasizes you don't have to just grind constantly nonstop. You can, but your rewards for doing so just kind of peter off after a little bit. But it does reward you for hopping in every day, doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
So it's mostly dailies focused?
They don't call them dailies anymore. They call them world quests.
Yeah, the world quests. Geez.
Yeah. Yeah, world quests, and they're a little bit different. But what they've done is they always do is they take the best things out of games that work and they apply it to that. You know, they took the whole Pokemon pet thing, they put it in there. They took the idea from Guild Wars where you don't have to like turn in, like get a quest, do it, turn it back in. Like those are world quests. You just show up in the area and it's like, hey, there's a quest going on here. There's this big bad guy that you can group up with other people to kill.
Oh, they put that into
Okay. It's been in there for a while.
Those are always fun in MMOs.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you get XP from the Pokemon battles?
Your character doesn't, but you level up your pets.
Okay, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, I've kind of gotten into it. I think the thing that I really like about the pet battles is it's bound to your account. So,
what's your homie? What's your Pikachu?
Right now my best one is Baby Winston, but there's so many better pets out there that I...
But you like it because it's Winston?
No, he's just really good. He's my ace in the sleeve. He's always the last one in my lineup.
Do you level up these pets?
Yeah, you level them from 1 to 25. You can get things that level them up faster. I haven't been doing too much of that since BFA came out because there's plenty to do with that. First of all, you got to level your character from 110 to 120. Already did that.
So how long does that take? Do you have to grind your own character? You have to grind your Pokemon?
You don't have to.
You don't have to. You can if you want.
No, it's World of Warcraft. You can do whatever you want in the world. If you want to spend 40 hours fishing a week... Like, I probably would.
Well, fishing isn't really... Nobody fishes anymore.
I know. It's not rewarding.
Professions are in a weird spot right now. It feels like some things are a little left undone. You know, they got new dungeons coming out in, I think, early September is when some of the new content comes out. If you listen to the recent PC Gamer podcast, whoever that was on there did a great job explaining a lot of things about the game.
Yeah, they brought him in just for that. That was their WoW ringer.
Yeah. He did a great job explaining it. But some cool things that I've noticed while I've been playing. First of all, the whole new area called Tiras. It's got... There's two new areas, and they seem kind of smaller, which I like. The last time, Legion had this huge area. You know, there was a lot of running around. But this one seems kind of smaller, and it's a very nautical theme. There's a lot of... You know, Cthulhu, Lovecraft stuff. There's... everything seems a little Halloweenish, too. There's a... Drustvar, this area where everything seems like, you know, old Crucible, New England type, like witches, and they've got like a Wicker Man quest line with the bees, and all the quests are...
Are you reading the quests, or are you just clicking through?
I read some of them, but they've gotten very creative with the quests, not only what you do in them, so it doesn't feel so repetitive, but also the storyline, like everything's a reference. Like, they got the Wicker Man, the bees, and they also have a quest line that was inspired by... holy shit, what was the name of that game that we all love and I played 90 hours of? I can't think. I've been up all night playing WoW. My brain is fried. You know, Darkest Dungeon. The quests are named after that. It's got a stress meter, so if you take too much damage from enemies, then you freak out. And it's all very much in that spirit. There's a lot of Cthulhu, sea monsters, shit like that. Like, I love the look of this way more than any expansion they've had. However, the other area, like Vol'dun and Xandalar and all that shit, like, that stuff is boring. That's just, like, jungle, desert, fucking raptor, like, seen it all before. But I really like Kul Tiras.
So, Bobby, can I get a review overall? Like, you've said a lot of things, but I don't think you've ever said if you like or dislike it. It sounds like you like it.
If he's playing as much as he is,
yeah. I'm enjoying it. I do like it a lot.
My question for you, Bobby, is do you find yourself doing more of the solo items regarding the game, or is there a lot of appeal to playing with others with the new expansion?
He can't play with others because he's watching fucking hot streams.
I can't play with others because everyone's playing Horde. I played a little bit with Sloppy Thor. He is on Alliance. We grouped up for a few things.
And you don't have to be in the same server anymore to group up and do stuff, right?
No, you don't.
Wait, instances, or can you? You can't go questing together, obviously. No,
you don't even group up like you used to. Like, you join a queue and then it finds a group for you. Can group up with people who you've friended on Battle.net, and you can join a queue with them. Yeah, it's a lot easier.
So what are you restricted to per server at this point now? Because previously, before, you had to be, it was exclusive to the servers.
Yeah, maybe Auction House, and I don't know. I'm not sure. There aren't too many restrictions. I mean, you can group up with someone on another server and, you know, go through quests. You can do dungeons.
Quests?
Mm-hmm. You can do quests.
Chad, but do you like join their world or something?
Cross server
questing?
Does somebody jump over?
If your friend's on Battle.net, you just invite them to a party and then they appear in your world.
Awesome.
Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is all old news, man. It's been out for a while.
Why don't you just play it? You have free access.
It's demanding. If you are...
I just said I couldn't even play Monster Hunter.
If you can't dive in Monster Hunter world.
Like, you know why? The only game I really want to play right now is Counter-Strike, because I sit down 45 minutes and it's like, it's getting like the perfect fap. Like, you know, I need a fix. Well, I need a fix. This is giving me exactly what I need. Yeah. And then I, you know, I leave satiated. I'm good. But like
what if you have a bunch of bad games? Don't you come off of that feeling shitty?
Well, then I just play one more game and then
good.
Yeah. But it's just like one of those things where it's like I want out of gaming, I want it in a smaller window.
I watched you 15 minutes the other night.
And that's very rare that I feel that way.
Didn't see one kill. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, when I first got back into CS and streaming, that's why I'm not going to stream CS anymore. It's because I
pay too much attention to the stream, right?
At this point now, I just want to get better at CS again. And I'm the type of gamer that would not want to turn on my camera while I'm playing CS. Right. I would rather just play the goddamn game. But I am playing BioShock Infinite, and I'm getting pretty far.
Good.
And I'm having a lot of fun.
Good stream game.
I think I'm ready. Yeah, I'm all about those endings now. So
that's a good ending.
Yeah.
But the ending, unless you remember the first BioShock, I feel like it's kind of tied in with the series. Like, that really put a bow on it.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Definitely did.
Yeah.
Some people say it was a cop out?
A lot of people didn't like that ending. Yeah. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, WoW's great. Grinding that out.
That's so weird.
That for a while. I mean, I feel like I'm going to burn out fast on this game, but I got the year subscription, so it's like it's always going to be there. So I have no idea how this is going to play out. It'll be an exciting adventure.
I saw Old Mini playing that. Were you playing that with him?
Wait,
Old Mini?
Yeah.
Oh, Chad?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That doesn't work.
Nice try, new Chad.
I don't know if he was level 120.
Like, Chad doesn't even want to show his biceps right now because
this is like a different color
shirt I have. I don't own a shirt that goes higher on my biceps.
Oh my god! It's like, if you look at Mini on Twitch right now, it looks like he's wearing a white shirt underneath his shirt, but it's just his fucking tan line.
He's been working in the desert. I don't think it looks bad.
I think you're definitely darker than me now, Mini. You used to be lighter than me, and now you're darker.
As long as nobody sees me with my shirt off, I'm good.
Do you need to borrow my umbrella?
Good thing you don't need to take your shirt off to suck dicks.
Right? it works as a good napkin, too.
Oh, goodness.
You ever hear Dave Chappelle's thing about a girl sucking his dick when she was wearing a motorcycle helmet?
I didn't hear that.
He's like, this is weird, but at the same time, I feel like I could do anything I want to her. Just starts punching her in the head.
Oh, I'm going to try that.
Yeah, yeah. He's like smoking a cigarette. He's just smacking her head around.
Wow. Yeah. All right. What other games do we have to talk about?
And for $25, you can smack me in the head.
Well, let me bring up a brand new game that I played. We talked about it last week for On the Radar. I picked up and played Graveyard Keeper. It was $19.99 on Steam. I picked it up because I am huge into, you know, it's almost like a, you know, farming simulator, but not with farming. It's with a graveyard. Mm-hmm. I absolutely am enjoying the game thus far, but I also feel a little burnt out just from playing this game for just the first 2 hours. So with Graveyard Keeper, who you are, you're a person that dies and then spawns in this medieval world, and you apparently are the keeper of this graveyard. You don't know how you got here, but all you know is that you want to get back to your old life.
Are you a zombie?
No, you're not a zombie.
You're a human.
Yeah, you're a human with this beard, and the first person you meet is a bouncing skull. So it's a skull that apparently used to be just like you, like from a different world, and ended up in this world.
Okay.
But it's a really neat environment. So mm-hmm. you're in this town, and there's a lot of different people that you meet, and almost every single person gives you a quest. Like, right off the bat, you feel like the ultimate bitch boy. Like, everyone that talks to you needs this, needs that, and it's a way of kind of going out and exploring the world and seeing what you can do.
Can you date and or marry them?
I don't know yet, and I doubt it, because in this world, you're trying to get back to your love. So your goal is, I want to get back to my love. How do I get back home? And so you just have to bust your ass and work really hard and kind of do all a million and one different things. It's definitely a huge resource manager. You have to craft. You have to find materials to craft, and then to unlock different areas and different abilities and different elements of the game, you have to build up to it.
So are townspeople that you've spoken to dying?
The witches are dying. So apparently there's this, the great evil inquisitor, like he's burning witches at the stake. He's telling you to watch out for yourself. Don't become his enemy. And all you're trying to do is make a good, honest living until somebody tells you how the fuck to get home. Your job as the gravekeeper is to pick up all the dead bodies that this talking donkey drops off. So it's
of
definitely
course. Like,
it's definitely a very like magical medieval head. Of fantasy.
Sound like Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, it's very fantasy. It's definitely fantasy based, and even though it's morbid topics, it's so lighthearted and humorous. Like listening to the characters talk, they all sound like it's hard to describe. Banjo and Kazooie with the characters, they all talk like they're squeaking. They're like,
Yeah.
And like you could almost
a lot of games
words.
Are doing that now.
Yeah, and it's very.
I like it.
Oh look, he's fishing. God, I haven't fished yet.
Oh no.
See, I want to fish, but I haven't found a fishing ground. So
all right, hold on.
I get so excited.
I heard you basically. At first, you said you got burnt out, and then I've heard you say nothing but compliments since then.
I got burnt out because it was a lot that they threw at me
all at once. Yeah.
All at once. Like a lot of the other Harvest Moon games or simulator games, they kind of slowly crawl you into it. But then this one here, you could do so many different things, and you could stay up all night long. Which
Ooh,
is
great.
Crazy. Like so time plays an important factor in this game, but it's not as stressful. Like you don't have season. I think you might have seasons, but there's not like festivals and calendar dates that you have to meet. You're basically just trying to unravel the story by building up on your grave. So the purpose of the game, the main purpose, is to upkeep these graves. When you get a body, you have to bury it. You have to fix up these gravestones. You know, put tombstones on it and kind of just like level up your graveyard. And there's a lot of different quests and different things you can do. Like apparently the spirit of the grave, like it could be a bad spirit and you want good spirits in your grave, and there's different ways to go about it. So there's a lot of little intricacies with this game, and it's tip of the iceberg right now. I've done so many different things so far in this game in the first 2 hours, but I still feel like I don't know what's like what I need to do quite yet.
So you've only played a few hours of it?
Yeah, maybe three.
Okay.
I've already done some farming. I've done some questing. I've done some resource management. Done a lot of running around trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do. Talked to a lot of different people, but I know there's still people I haven't talked to yet. So it's a very large farming simulator game. It's not farming simulator. It's a graveyard simulator, but it has a lot of different elements to it. Okay. So right now I'm still so new in the game. I don't have a routine with it yet. Normally when you play these kind of games, you create a daily routine because it normally keeps you on that 24-hour clock or 12-hour window. But with this one here, since you can virtually stay up and do whatever you want, as long as you have the energy and you can perpetually eat, so you can basically not sleep. You could work a perpetual graveyard shift if you are farming enough resources and replenishing your energy bar. Then again, I haven't stayed up for like a week long or anything like that, so I don't know if it does crash or things do happen. But it is a game where
that'd be a cool element.
Yeah, it is a game where I think you can kind of pick and choose how you, like, obviously you're doing the quest, but in order to earn your money, I think there's so many different ways to go about it. So I'm still very early on in the game, but it's a lot of fun, and the banter between you and the NPCs, it's so playful, and it's which is refreshing considering a lot of the other farming simulator games. It's very generic. Like, the conversations you have with people are very generic. It's almost and you almost feel like you're, you know, and it's very basic, like the conversations, you know, straight out of like a child's storybook. But this one here, it's a lot more intricate than that. So far I'm enjoying it a lot, lots of different things to do. And I don't know, I'm excited to kind of figure it out a little bit more. But it's a game that after about 2.5 hours, I was like, wow, I learned so many different things, still don't know what's going on. So I'm just going to take a break and come back to it again.
It seems like a game that would be difficult to come back to because you forgot everything that the game had trained you in the tutorial.
The thing about it, though, I feel like it's not punishing. So even though there's so much to do in a day, like to the point where you can't afford to even sleep, there's no strict timeline. So instead of just trying to meet certain goals by a certain date, like in Stardew Valley, where you had to fix up the community center and there's only certain things you could do during the season, this one here, you're kind of organically on your own time, on your own terms.
But it has a day-night cycle, right?
Yes, it does.
So do you have a limited amount of time, like, that you can do things?
Yes, like interact with NPCs mostly. But you could work throughout the work.
Okay,
you can the work and everything work. Else you could do.
That's interesting.
The
yeah. You know what, Punch Club? This is from the makers of Punch Club, and because I own Punch Club, they sent me a coupon for 25% off. So I almost bought this, but I knew I wouldn't play.
You should have bought it for me. I would have paid you.
I got a coupon for 25% as well, but I have no idea why.
I bought this full price.
Usually, you get that when you have a
Shop Harder too.
Previously owned release game.
Shop Harder.
Yeah. I don't think I have a title that
Billy just told me to shop harder because I was yelling that at Minnie over the phone.
You were right,
I wonder where you got it, though. Because I got a coupon, but I figured it was from owning Punch Club.
I don't know.
But what Punch Club did was you had to go to the gym. I mean, you could do lots of things, but you had to go to the gym every day and you had to work out. And there were like three different stats. And it was really hard to keep those up. It was like spinning plates. You had to run over and do this one. Then you had to go do that one. And really, you could only you could only focus on one. Like, okay,
Graveyard Keeper feels like that right now, too.
It has that same kind of thing where you feel like you're constantly like
juggling stats a million and one. I don't think there are stats here, but there are definitely different type of knowledge trees. So in this game, there are three different colors that you build up. I forget like the exact terms, but red, green, and blue. Red is from strength. Green is from nature, like gathering. And then blue is from something or another. I think that's like the knowledge branch. And so as you build these up, and as you do different things in the world, you unlock different knowledges and you can do different things. And so it's almost like building up a tech tree. So the heavier you are in one skill, the more you can unlock in that ability. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what you are too.
Bobby, are you going to pick this up based on what
eventually,
you said?
Yeah, I 100% buying this at some point.
At 25% off. Ugh, I'm sad that's I missed that discount.
Yeah, for sure. No, this premise kind of reminds me of, I'm listening to an audiobook right now called Mog World, and it's written by Zero Punctuation. You guys ever watch
this? Yeah.
Yahtzee.
So yeah, Ben Yahtzee Crawshaw. Yeah. Okay. So it's what the premise of the book is he was a a mage in training, and then he gets killed, and then he gets resurrected by a necromancer, but the necromancer accidentally gives him free will.
Okay.
So he's like trying to like come to terms with him not being able to be in the paradise he was when he was dead, and just trying to like, he's trying to kill himself so he can get back there, but the world's not letting him.
He he'd rather be in purgatory or whatever it was.
Well, it was more of paradise.
He was in heaven.
Yeah, he was in heaven, basically. So he's like trying to, his goal was to like get back to heaven.
His soul got ripped out of heaven?
Yeah.
That's pretty heavy.
Yeah, like it tells like this, when he's being resurrected, like the process of him like trying not to be ripped from heaven. He's like trying to claw his way back, but it's all futile.
One of the big stories that I've always wanted to write a story about is I had the idea of how a necromancer has an apprentice, because they're like, you know, death has so much to be like, what would draw a young lad to be an apprentice in the dark arts or whatever.
Yeah.
And the whole, how do
super
you become
edgy
one?
Teenager.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
They're all ready for that.
The straight edge or what is that called? Nah, something.
Edgelord.
Edgelord. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool.
All right.
Move it on.
Can we talk about T.I.? I haven't been paying attention, but I'm so very interested.
It's so late. Yeah, it's so late. They're in the group stage right now. EG, Evil Geniuses, doing very well.
That's America, right? Or one of the American teams?
I mean, yeah, it's an American team, but it's got like Swedish, and it's got people from all around the world on it.
Is that older dude still playing?
Fear? No, he is no longer on that team. Ooh. It's hardly the same roster. It's still got Sumail on it, and he's back to mid lane, which is cool.
Are we talking about POTS?
No, this is Dota 2.
Dota 2.
Okay.
That dude that you didn't mention, he's a heavier set fellow now.
Sumail? No.
Okay.
He was a couple years ago when EG won. It was, he was like that 14-year-old prodigy out of Pakistan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're doing really well in group stage. I've been watching some of it, but there's so many streams trying to cover all the different games, and they've been having some issues with it. It's been a little challenging to keep up to date with it. Crystal Maiden's in. I'm excited to see that. Maybe I should get back into Dota.
Why?
Because she's mad now.
That's like the only hero I know
how to play. If you do, please let me know.
I don't know about that. I don't know if we could play that game. We would hate each other.
No, we wouldn't.
That game breeds out the worst in people.
No.
The worst.
No.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's how,
it's like
it's
the
how
opposite
I bond
of
with
counseling.
My friends.
Mm.
We bond with, like, collateral raging.
It's funny how you're bonding when you're several miles away from us when we're being attacked by millions of rats. I didn't feel like I was bonding with you.
That's a different play style. But, like, with MOBAs, with actual real team communication, that is a good way to bond.
The way we're going to improve our relationship, like, Bobby, is more communication.
You're right. We probably might hate each other.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen. All right.
Yeah. But anyway, so they're in the group stages right now. You know, Big Show's going to start soon. It is in Vancouver this year, which I was talking to someone about this, and they mentioned it's probably, I mean, they're redoing Key Arena in Seattle, which they couldn't have it there for those reasons, I'm sure. But they're kind of renovating that place. But someone was also mentioning that they probably have a much easier time with visas getting into Canada than the U.S. And I know that's constantly a problem with people who play esports, especially internationally.
Especially now. You know, with the Trump situation, I don't think a lot of people, especially Muslim.
Yeah, maybe it is more difficult.
Yeah. So that makes sense.
So the, I don't know. I feel like
Trump's even fucking up esports, man. The fuck?
He's ruining everything. But I've been keeping an eye on the international. I'm probably going to be getting more into that. This is like the only time of the year where I care about Dota.
This game's got to be dying, right? There's no way it's been growing, right?
I don't know. I've heard League is kind of on the downslope, at least in America. But you just got to imagine a lot of people who play. MOBAs are not like the it thing anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, everyone's moved on to other things. People are getting older.
Yeah.
A lot of Battle Royale out there.
But here's the thing. Because these games are so demanding and there are people who are extremely invested, they're never going to stop playing. So whatever. I think the hold they have on these players, it's like there's less turnover, I suppose. Or
with the hardcores.
Yeah, with the hardcores.
Yeah, because once hardcores you don't go on to another one. You've invested so much in it.
Hardcores don't make money, though. Like, you could have a super hardcore fan base of 100,000 people. That's not going to pay the bills. You know what I mean? Like, eventually, you're going to have to...
They still got numbers, though.
No, for sure.
A lot of people enjoy...
I'm just saying, there's no way they're doing as well as they were.
There's a lot of international players on
how big is the
Dota
price pool
as well.
That'll so it's give us an
like,
idea.
I feel like with MOBAs, it's one of the games where, well, there's a lot of different online games out there that do have like a like worldwide community.
Yeah.
But Dota 2 is one where like it definitely reaches to,
and League of Legends,
like
huge.
Yeah. It's like the dark corners of Brazil and stuff like
popular.
That. Like it's like the game
dark
that
corners.
When
Blanca's
like,
from
where people can't play other games or playing lists, you know.
And I think a lot, there's a difference between player base and viewership as well, because a lot of people will eventually get tired of playing the game because it's so demanding and it's so difficult and it's stressful and they got a new job and they're growing up and they have relationships. You know, it's hard to keep up with like a MOBA type game because they're so demanding. But a lot of those people end up not playing as much and watching more. So I think viewership for Dota is still going to be record high. Price pool this year is 24.7 million.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember that
shit you were talking.
I feel like we were making big news 3 years ago about them having a $2 million price pool.
Jeez.
No, that
was, last year was 17.8 or something. I don't know.
Can
maybe
we see
it was
the population that's playing Dota 2 currently as we're
God
speaking?
God damn. You know, as much of a shock that was, I had the same amount of shock of how little the Evo tournament was paying out their players.
How much are they? What's grand prize?
Grand prize for Street Fighter 2 was like $40,000.
What?
There's almost half
damn,
a million
nothing.
People
yeah.
playing.
Yeah.
Dude, there's almost half a million people playing at this moment as we're speaking. And today, up to 800,000 people were playing this game, just about.
Yeah, there's still a lot
all
of
right,
people.
Right,
yeah.
Amelia.
Right, dying.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
I couldn't even play that game.
40 grand for grand prize.
For Street Fighter 2. I think maybe Dragon Ball Fighter Z paid more because they had the largest attendance ever for that. Or entries. They had 40,000 entries.
Oof.
Yeah. And they have to sort through all
40,000 entries, dude. That's,
yeah. They haven't really built an esports scene around fighting games, though, have they? I mean, it exists, but not like to the degree that Counter-Strike.
I mean, Evo's as big as it gets.
Yeah.
Capcom has their own Capcom Cup now, but it's basically a smaller Evo. Chi, did you get around? Have you ever seen? I know you're a Dragon Ball fan, so have you ever seen any of the Dragon Ball Z fighters played?
Like someone actually playing a DBZ fighting game?
The newest one, the FighterZ, the one that's really big.
Oh, no, I haven't. I haven't looked at it.
Okay, so it looks fantastic.
So good.
Yeah, it looks like an episode. It looks fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And the gameplay is a lot like Marvel vs. Capcom. Each team has three, and then they beat each other up and knock each other around.
Yeah, I was watching a semi-pro play. He was on stream. He's a guy that I've been following for a long time. He never really even played 2D fighters, and then he got into this, and he's just kicking ass.
Mm.
And it's really cool to see him like evolve his from not playing 2D fighters to being like one of the top ranked people.
Oh wow!
Like it's crazy.
Tech wise, I've heard that it's not like as technical as a lot of the other. I think they were kind of appealing to the mass market, and it worked.
Well, I think it's created by the people who made Blaze Blue or Darkstalkers.
Yeah.
It's one of those other 2D
creators.
Oh,
so they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But one of the downsides of making a game that's like that is they didn't pay a lot of, I don't know. Well, from what I saw from the tournament, it was a lot. Everybody's playing the same, like, six characters out of 50 character slot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how it goes when there's an early meta for a new game.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I speak about Evo?
Not to know.
Besides, until now? All right.
You're talking about previous weeks?
I don't think
we
so.
We talked a little bit about it.
Yeah, it happened like a couple weeks ago.
I knew somebody that went to Evo and they like definitely loved it, enjoyed it, had a blast. But I don't usually watch fighting games. I have a lot of friends who are into fighting games, but outside of maybe like a 15-second clip, I won't pay attention to fighting games.
I don't know. Is it okay to spoil it? Because it's kind of like different what happened this year.
I guess. Go for it.
Whatever.
Why not?
If you don't know who won and you plan on watching it, go off now. First of all, Bison took the tournament. A guy playing Bison, which you never know, and one of my mains is Bison. So, like, I thought it was fantastic. And he was a British guy. First time ever a British guy won.
That's awesome.
And he was a black guy, and he beat all the Japanese that usually win. It was awesome. Just like something different happening for once, you know, it wasn't one of the regular people. And and there was a little bit of a comeback situation. It was a pretty good tournament. I enjoyed it. If you guys are wondering what the fuck I'm talking about, 2D Fighters have a tournament in Las Vegas called Evo. You can watch the top eight. That's what if you're. You don't even have to be into fighting games. That's what Dana White says is one of the best appeals for UFC and why it grows. You don't have to explain the rules. The guy gets punched in the face. You know what's happening. Right. A lot of the power meter goes down. You know what's happening there. So anyway, so if you want to check those out, just go Evo Top 8, any game that you're into. Or the Mortal Kombat ones are really cool to watch just because visually they're very appealing. Anyway, yeah. I watched almost all the Top 8s. Took me about 2-3 hours. So good content there. Hmm. And the announcers are fantastic, man. They got their own lingo and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're really fun to watch.
Yeah.
There's I don't know their names. Can't think of it. Those two black guys. They're hilarious. Yeah. Those guys are so fun to watch.
They sound so New York, dude. They have their own, like, it's great. I love their,
even like,
their accent.
Like actually watching them is sometimes more interesting than watching the fight. They're so animated. And
oh, fuck. What the? I just saw, God damn it. There's something on Reddit about Shoutcaster losing his shit. Like, so far. Not on Street Fighter. It was something else. And he was like out of it. He's like, like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Moving on.
All right. What other games we got?
I haven't talked.
Dead Cells?
Sure. Mostly you. I've been streaming it a lot.
Playing it.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
But not getting anywhere, really.
Oh.
I had to actually look up where to get the thing for the wall climbing.
Oh, yeah? I haven't gotten that yet.
What? But you beat the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can just...
You can just go down the straight path and win?
The only ability you need is a vine creating ability.
You son of a bitch. I didn't know this.
Yeah. I mean, once you just... It's like playing...
I'm having fun exploring, kind
of. I think I talked about this last time, Star Fox, where you got those branching paths, and you can just take one path all the way to the end.
I'm seeing this reoccurring theme with you. Beat games.
Oh. Well, I mean, just take one path and win. That's how I play games.
So okay. So the furthest one I've been in is like the castle, really nice looking one.
Yeah, it's the last one.
Oh, it's the last one?
Yeah.
So if I beat that, I beat the game?
Yeah.
Okay, I've been there several times. I can get there pretty quickly, I think.
Okay, yeah. And once you get there, then you fight the Hand of the King, and that's it.
Okay.
And then
how hard is that boss?
It depends on your build. First time I fought him, he kicked my ass. Second time, it was easy because I had the weapon I wanted, which is the Assassin's Blade, the backstabbing crit blade. Yeah, once I got that, it was badass, yeah.
Okay, with bear traps?
Bear traps, yeah. I got bear traps, flashbang, Assassin's Blade, and like 30% increase. I had like 11K HP.
Damn. So crazy. So you probably haven't even seen all the other worlds.
No.
Damn.
Definitely have
not. It's so interesting.
Yeah.
We're playing it completely. Both different. I'm not complaining. I'm having a great time.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't like that I have to look something up for the first time. But I thought I needed that to beat the game, I guess.
I don't mind looking shit up as long as it's there. I feel like with Graveyard Keeper, there were so many different times during my game where I'm like, I wish I could look this up. I wish I could figure out where this is.
But it's a new game, so there's
it's a new game, and it's not
really
a huge
nothing
release.
Out there. Right. So it's kind of like learning the hard way, and it's not as fun that way for me because I like being very efficient. And then I'm the type of person that will run around and get caught up like ADD with my gameplay where I'll get caught up doing something weird and then I kind of lose sight of what I was trying to even to accomplish in the first place. So.
Have you ever played a game that was so new that you couldn't find any information on how to pass a certain part, but then you figured it out and you thought, hey, maybe I should put this out there for the
Never
next
once.
Guy.
With my time at, with my time at Portia, they have so much content, like their own Wikipedia thing and whatnot, but there are a lot of things on there that I noticed that I could have contributed to the community.
But you didn't.
But I was like, no, it's too much work. No.
Yeah. I did that once with a game called One Heart. I figured out a puzzle and I put it on YouTube because first of all, it wasn't on there yet. And second of all, it was such a small game that not a lot of people have heard of. I was like, I don't know if anyone's going to put this out there, but yeah, I put it up there. It got like 300 views. One dude was like, oh, cool. That's how you do it. Thanks.
I really appreciate how that people do these type of things.
Yeah.
Though. I mean,
with a AAA game, it's going to, you know, day one, it's like, you know, the full walkthrough on IGN.
Yeah.
You know? But with some of the smaller games, it's harder to find those resources. It's funny how that's become part of gaming. Now, back in the day, they used to have hotlines sometimes if the game was big
Nintendo
enough.
Hotline.
Yeah, you call the hotline. Yeah.
So, pay like a dollar a minute.
Yeah.
So many. I called the sex hotline one time.
Yeah.
And
I did that once, too.
I think I did it more than once, but not a whole bunch. Anyway, I got a call on the other line.
What year was it when you did this?
Dude, I'm 40 years old.
99?
What?
So talk about probably like 25 years ago. Anyway, I was like, I have another call. Can you please hang up? She's like, sure. But she ain't hang up. I have a fucking boat phone bill for $150.
Really?
Back when $150 was $150.
Wow.
Anyway. That's funny. What the fuck were we talking about?
Oh, Dead Cells?
Yeah, but what specifically was I going to say?
After you beat this game for the first time.
Oh, that. Are you gonna go again?
Yeah. You get harder difficulties. I think it's called stem cells is what it is. And then once you get a stem cell, you can activate it for each run, which makes better drops and harder enemies. And I think there's 4 stem cells once you beat the game on harder and then harder and then harder. That's the end of the game.
Have you seen different creature types?
I haven't played it yet.
But oh, okay.
No, I've seen like on Reddit the pictures of all the creatures, and there's nothing
new. Same.
Yeah, wow. They're all the same.
Cool. Well, still fantastic game.
Yeah.
And not as long as I thought. I mean, you could really beat this in 3. I mean, could you theoretically beat it your first run if you are a motherfucker?
Theoretically, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, yeah.
That's kind of like Rogue Legacy. Remember that, Bobby, when some guy beat it in his first run?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you're like, what the fuck? I beat this whole... I made this whole castle. All right. Cool. Great game.
All right. Tabletop Simulator.
Did you have a game night?
I try to, but nobody's fucking listening to me. I'm messaging Bobby. I'm messaging Minnie. At least Minnie had the decency to turn me down. He's like, no, man, I don't want to play that.
Yeah.
You were working.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, game night. And nobody showed up. Like when you go on Discord and you're like, you're about to message 100 people. I'm like, wow, I'm going to have too many people for Monopoly. I click it. You know, I did a at here. Nope. Fucking one person showed up. Well, one person would show up and then leave, and then another one person would come in. And then eventually, Sniper's like, I'm committed. Let's get this done. And I was like, okay, let's get some gaming done, even if it's just the two of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we downloaded Dark Souls. That was the first one. Too complicated for... Oh, so it's a virtual desktop, like literally a desktop. Mm-hmm. Where you can pretty much do whatever you want on it.
So you download these as mods through the Steam Workshop?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
And unless it's official, you don't have to pay for them. So I think like 95% of them are free.
They've
so you can go anything from Monopoly to...
they have air hockey?
To Munchkin. To... what's your favorite board game, Chi?
Talisman.
It has all the... Everything.
Expansions?
All the expansions,
that's
everything.
It's badass.
Yeah. So... And you could just play it. Now, the game itself, Tabletop Simulator, doesn't have any rules. So it doesn't really know what games you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
It is just a virtual thing. All the rules and everything is that are up to you guys and what you're saying,
yeah.
Which is how board games go anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You can make your own. You can be like, okay, now Minnie can't talk or whatever. I wish I could. And so you could just go on and play. I mean, everything's on here. So we tried Dark Souls, way too complicated. Like, they had a 21-page thing. We tried. It didn't make any sense.
What do you mean, Dark Souls?
Dark Souls has its own board game.
Okay.
It's a co-op where you have to go and try to beat the boss together.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, randomly generated.
It's like a board game with, like, Candyland.
Just done, like,
little figures.
Catan or something.
A little more complicated than Candyland, yeah. But
if
yeah.
If you called out you were doing Catan, I'm sure people would have, like, jumped in.
If what?
If you called out the board name itself, the board
yeah,
game.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people were saying. I was like, I want to play Tabletop Simulator. It was like,
but
that's not a game.
Yeah, you like, should really just be like, hey, we're going to play Catan.
But I had never played a game before on there,
oh,
so
okay.
I didn't know anything, basically. So I was just like, I'm willing to play
either,
anything.
I haven't either, to be honest. So
did you play Munchkin?
I did.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's a lot like Talisman. I mean, very, very similar to Talisman. A lot jokier. It's kind of like... a Mad TV version of Talisman.
Talisman is like a board game, right?
Yeah.
Munchkin is like a card game.
Well, when you play it on here,
it
has a board that makes you visualize it better.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
okay.
There's like, this is where this goes. And I figured that. I figured you would play Munchkin without it.
Are you sure you want to compare Munchkin to Talisman?
Yes.
You go around, you are in different areas, and you fight beasts and monsters to level up your character?
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly what you do.
That's pretty much
And that's
Munchkin.
How you win. If you get to level 10, you win.
Yeah. I played Munchkin on Tabletop Sim a long time ago,
yeah.
And it was just straight up card game.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now there's like a board that goes along.
Oh, cool.
It's very,
oh, man,
it's very, very cool.
Pokemon TCG Retro.
They got everything. I mean, how many? Is there any way you can look up how many
Secret
mods
Hitler
there are?
Here, that's fine.
Bobby? That's the most popular game.
Well, so on their Steam page, I'm looking down here and downloadable content. So are these the officially released ones?
Yes.
Probably officially. Okay.
And one of the biggest problems is too much of a good thing. If you punch in Munchkin, you're going to get 30, 40 versions.
Okay.
Is Cards Against Humanity on there and whatnot?
Yes.
Yeah, it
is. I recently bought a game off of Amazon called That's What She Said. And and it's apparently Cards Against Humanity, but
for ladies?
With all dirty jokes, apparently. Okay. Yeah.
That's what Cards Against Humanity is.
No, but like only sexual innuendos.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. And like, if you were to spend the money on some of these games, so we ended up on X-Wing, which I've been wanting to play forever. Have you guys seen this?
Star Wars?
Yeah, Star Wars okay. X-Wing. It's where you get the little miniatures and you play and you kind of like have a dogfight.
Oh, cool.
It's super fun. You haven't seen this?
Never.
So if you play it, if you look at it in real life, it looks awesome. Imagine like a Warhammer 40K caricature,
yeah.
But it's on a little podium, and it looks like it's hovering because it's on a little podium.
Yeah.
And then you do attack maneuvers and fucking loop-de-loops like that, and you die roll for all this stuff. It's fucking great. Anyway, it was a little complicated, but we figured it out. It took us like 2 hours to learn how to play this game, but we were committed. And we just kept going and going until we finally got it. It was a really good time. We ended up playing 3 full games. Wow. We still don't know if we're playing correctly, but it was a good time. But
that's a good thing about board games. Like, make your own rules.
Yes.
If it's fun, it's fun.
Exactly.
Yeah. The one game that I wish would be easier to play with friends is Mario Party. Like, if tabletop...
Oh, Mario Party.
I don't think tabletop would have Mario Party on it because it's not capable.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think there's a way we can play Mario Party.
One of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah. God, what a game.
Love Mario Party so much.
Now, when you guys are saying Mario
Party, I would love to play that with you guys.
What iteration are you guys talking about mostly?
I just remember Mario Party 64.
Old school Mario Party, like N64, like blisters in the middle of your palm.
Yeah.
But I've played virtually all of them except for maybe the 2 most recent.
I do have to say about the Mario Party is the fastest button tap games. There's like 4 of them.
Yeah.
I would always win them all, so it was kind of shitty for everybody else because they were like, oh, well, Amelia's going to win this one.
Yeah, yeah. My big brother was like that, too.
Yeah, exactly.
There's this one part in Mario Party where I think you're on a snowboard, and what you have to do, it's for GameCube, you have to hit the buttons in a circle sequence to do, like, 1080s, and you have to do it over and over and over, and I was doing it. I'm really good, but I was always competing against my big brother, who, when it comes to, like, button mashing, and he was always a step ahead of me.
Yeah.
And there were times when I, like, if he messed up, I could win, but only if he messed up. And when he did that shit, he just blew me out of the water. He literally, like, I've never seen anybody, like, freaking, like, go that fast on the controller. But he basically didn't even lift his thumb. He was just like doing a full-on circle with all the buttons.
Yeah, I would put my palm on the thing and move like that, I think.
I'm like, holy gosh, world record here. But no, that's why I love Mario Party, because as casual as it is, and how anybody could basically win, the mini games are where it's at.
Oh, for sure. Like, yeah. That's why you're playing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. So we're getting a Switch this month, and I can't wait for the new Mario Party.
Let's play.
Yeah. Bobby, X-Wing has to sound good to you. It has to.
So what exactly is that? Is that like some sort of, you compared it to, not D&D, but something else? Like, it's an actual game. You're not just playing with action figures in a virtual environment, right?
Correct, yes. There's a lot of... I'm getting the sense from you that, you know, like, there's a big explosion of board games right now. So, basically,
a lot of
the IPs that are... If you have a good IP, there's probably a board game already set up. And people are just stealing them and putting them on here and waiting until they get a cease and desist, I guess. And so, yeah, dude. And what I was trying to tell you is, like, if you want to buy like an X-Wing for this game, Sniper was telling me it's like $40. And then you will just run that X-Wing, and that'll be your deck. It's kind of like making a deck, too.
Okay.
But everything's on the... So you'd have your X-Wing plus 3 cards. Let's say that's something you could play with.
Since I've never played, I own the game, I've loaded it up, but I've never actually done anything with Tabletop Simulator. How easy is it to connect with your friends and get them to download the same shit as you?
One of my favorite things about this was that if you have a game that I want to play with you, but I don't have the game.
Yeah.
I don't have to go to and check out those 40 versions. I could just join your game and it'll automatically download that mod.
That is impressive.
Yeah, it's really, I was,
that is awesome.
And get this, seamlessly, like within 10 seconds, because you don't even realize when it's happening. And now I have that version.
Candyland, Bobby.
They don't have Mousetrap. So with that.
Really?
That's that was kind of an odd board game that wasn't really a board game.
You just race to the end, and then someone gets to press the button. And you got to fix that stupid shoe that won't kick the thing.
Do they have
Mousetrap had some awesome commercials, I'll tell you that.
Boulder Dash, Bobby? The one where the boulder comes down and knocks everybody over?
No.
Yeah. Anything with, like, physics, they probably stay away from.
Is there a Pictionary?
Oh, you can flick things. I thought that was really cool. You could flick.
Yeah.
Like, you could literally flick
things. You could flip the table, too.
Yeah, which I thought there would be a vote. No?
You just flip it anytime.
Flip the table and ruin the game.
Anime Pictionary. Oh, you got all sorts of Pictionaries.
It's fucking awesome, guys. Bless you. $20, you get hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of games. That's basically how that works.
Yeah, I've seen Dungeons & Dragons played on this, and it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, so I was so determined before Sniper joined me that I was going to play, so I joined a bunch of randos, and that didn't go well. They're all...
Playing what?
Randoms?
What were you
Random
playing?
People. I tried Cards Against Humanity, which I knew how to play. I tried Munchkin, which I had just learned how to play. Mm-hmm. I tried. Oh, by the way, there's like Munchkin Marvel. There's Munchkin Star Wars. Yeah, a bunch of crazy stuff. Yeah, I mean, fucking Hungry Hippos is on here. Shit.
Hungry it
looks like a
hippos.
Terrible mod.
What is this, Bunko?
Weird.
I feel like that's a joke from a TV show.
I gotta go pee.
Yeah.
Joel's Jumanji. Is that from Always Sunny?
Is there more highlights that I have to say, or is there another highlight we can go to? No, back on me, huh?
That is
the
about
news
it.
Is huge. Yeah.
Well, it's really it's.
I can't wait for us to talk about this because I haven't even heard about this.
Okay, it's pretty short. Forza Horizon 3.
The news part. On with it.
I've played it before. I've reviewed it. My initial review was that I was glad that something was able to reignite my love for racing games that were. Made from Gran Turismo, you know. I hadn't really played a game to after Gran Turismo. I played the one where the crashes were in slow motion.
Burnout.
Yeah, and I like that. But this is like Gran Turismo taking. I mean, look at the accolades. It's fucking fantastic. It's so much fun, and you will never run out of shit to do. There is so much stuff to do. I mean,
this is
overwhelming to a certain point. Yeah, and there's it's funny that you said that. When I logged into the last time, because they play commercials while you're playing it, which you can skip through, but there's like a Hot Wheels course where with the big ramps, the big plastic ramps, and you could do all that. You have to pay for it, but it looked really awesome. Anyway, I was playing it. I was having a good time again, and I was like, man, why did I stop playing this? And then I realized it's fucking hard. Like when you do the things that are rated hard, you could be. I was wasting hours on one track just trying to get first place, you know?
Oh, man.
Or like, although...
And this is the type of game you can actually get the, what's it called? The actual wheel and the pedal.
Oh, yeah.
And that seems like a
little... But it's very arcadey, too. It's very arcadey. Like, it's very forgiving. Like, there's a rewind button where if you fuck up, you can just rewind and like not fuck up on that turn, and you fill up the meter and stuff, and it's very like forgiving as far as like it's not a simulation at all. What I do want to say is like how much integration there is online without like actually playing with your friends. So me and Rubber Nuts are in the same racing team, right? So eventually, I get gifts from him without him. Saying send this to him, like are the team together is just building points, and then sometimes we get stuff, and then also he's
what's he trying to get back if he's gifting you things?
Probably meth. I don't know. and then there's other things called like bucket list things. So like a drive through the Outback on a Jeep would be something that the game made up, right? But then at that same point your friends on your drive team can make up their own ones. So it'd be like driving down a river using this one car with this music playing. So then I played one of Rubber Nuts
Catching the Red Runner.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like, he had the most goofy song playing with the most goofy car, mm-hmm. going through the most goofy course. And I was like, so glad that he had taken the time because I really enjoyed it.
That's cool.
Anyway, fuck, man. Best racing game I've ever played?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Beyond, is it on Steam? Like,
better than Gran Turismo 3?
Game yeah, for Windows.
I mean, well, you got to imagine that game with the graphics turned all the way up. And then, like, not just races. Like, there's so many other things to do.
Now, the thing that PR I really liked about Gran Turismo was the car customization. Do they have that?
Yeah, you can, they do. You can go down to the, mm-hmm. you can go down to the, you know, nuts and bolts, really? If you want. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the another thing that I really like is, like, when you get a new car, it shows you at random, not the most popular, the most random paint jobs that people have created. So you'll see some crazy shit. And it's really, really cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, I downloaded it again because this guy is staying with us right now.
Can you play this cross system? So are you playing with console players? I imagine.
I imagine so.
Yeah, racing
just,
games?
Yeah, just Xbox people.
Yeah.
So this is Windows.
But I'm not playing online.
Windows 10?
Yeah. You can, but I stay offline.
Okay. All the tracks are in Australia?
Yeah, it's Windows 10.
Oh, fuck this game.
Yeah.
Fuck this
yeah,
game.
It's all Australia. It's all. It has a little bit of story going on to it. It's this big racing festival.
Yeah.
And you have to raise money in order to make more festival sites. But that's not the driving. It's fucking just awesome.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Sam never comments on my games. She walks into the garage and she's like,
"It's super realistic.
Wow, this is really pretty.
It looks like the real damn thing." Really does. So it's really cool.
Yeah. So high recommendation on both of my games that I played this week.
I wouldn't play it, but I know I have played it a little bit. My nephew plays Forza, and so picked up the controller and tried it out a bit. But it's not a game where I'm like, okay, I'm home now. Let's play some Forza.
Yeah. Apparently, neither will I.
Windows 10, man.
Not gonna happen.
One of these days. All right, guess it's time for the news.
Some big news here. This is what I was anticipating to find out more about because.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to read the title here, but keep in mind that this was updated. So this is not the whole story. Okay. The title is Steam.tv is live, and it appears to be Valve's Twitch competitor. So this was actually a mistake.
Thank you, Loud Ad.
Loud Ads playing on CNET.com. It's always fun.
Sorry for the bleeding ears.
It wasn't too loud in my headset, but it's probably much louder.
Like on the podcast, have you ever listened to the podcast?
Mm-hmm. Where yeah, no, it's always louder.
It's ridiculously loud. Yeah. So if you were driving and now you're upside
keep
down
on
in
toes.
A ditch, we're sorry.
Make sure they're awake here.
No. Heart attack, wow.
Talking about racing sims. All right. So this was actually a mistake. They didn't mean to put Steam.tv up live, but this is something that they're working on. And it does look like kind of a competition to Twitch.tv. It's Valve streaming service that they plan to use for the international coming up soon. So we should get a preview of it. Now, Valve already has kind of a streaming service here, not a website dedicated to it, but you can go to my Steam page, and if I'm playing a game, you click watch, and you can just watch the game that I'm playing. It's kind of like Twitch, but it's built into Steam.
Currently, yeah.
Yeah, currently it's like that.
But then you also need to get their permission.
Mm-hmm. You can request permission. That's the default. I have it set up to where if I'm playing, you can just tune in and watch me. Okay. And you can change those in the settings. Now, that was really cool when they first did it. People started using it a lot when it first came out, but then it kind of died down. It's really cool just for that purpose. Like, oh, he's playing this game. I wonder what party he's at.
And I like it because it's like I do watch some of my friends play CS. When they're not streamers, so it's mm-hmm. a nice way to. But then no, that's just CSTV as well. But then also through their own personal POV, I like doing that too.
Yeah.
So,
but this looks like it's aiming to be more of a website you go to, you browse different games. It, you know, just like Twitch is. I don't know if it'll be successful against Twitch that already has such a built-in audience, and they really do a lot of things right. They've had a lot of time to perfect it. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people are just used to that. I don't know if we have room for another streaming service.
We'll see when they officially actually launch it. Like you said, this was an accident, this was a mistake or something or another. So it's funny how we were talking about last week how Discord is trying to get on Steam's level with selling video games and becoming their competition. And now it's like Steam jumping on Twitch, potentially to be, you know, to pull from that market. So it's just all of this, you know, like I think Steam, if they do come out with Steam.tv and it's a real website that can compete against Twitch, I'd be happy to try it out. Mm-hmm. And if it works better for me, then absolutely, why not? I know Twitch does a lot of things right, but I would be interested to see how Steam would do it, like how Steam would do it, mm-hmm. and then if there are any other elements where they do it better than Twitch.
Well, so far their broadcasting service is not great. It's kind of, I don't know, it's problematic, I think. But I haven't used it in a while. But it does have the advantage of having a large user base built in. I mean, if this turns out to be a website that you can just go to and like watch something, and then all your Steam's friend list is there, and you see what everyone else is watching. I mean, it's got that whole social aspect too. It's got that built-in audience. But yeah, what is this? Oh, someone posting Reddit in the chat. Is that Emilio from another room?
That's Emilio from the fucking toilet posting us a link.
Fun. real quick on Steam.tv, doesn't work on Firefox yet, interesting enough.
Who's on Firefox anymore?
Firefox has made some really good progress, and their browser is actually pretty damn fast.
I switched over to Chrome so long ago.
Chrome was better than Firefox for a while, but I think Firefox is a lot less resource hog.
Really?
Yeah.
How are their extensions, though?
They have not as many, but they still work pretty well.
I like Chrome for the extensions. And, of course, Google being cross-compatible.
You can log into Chrome with your Google account and then have things synchronized. I mean, you can do that on Firefox as well, but I don't know. I've just gotten used to Chrome, so I use that.
I've actually started using Firefox for my phone because Chrome is terrible on it, but I still use Chrome on my desktop.
PC. Mm-hmm.
I used Internet Explorer for a year. That was fun.
What?
Yeah, this was a
not
couple
purposely,
years ago.
Right?
No, I did. I was like, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to give it an honest trial. And I used Internet Explorer for like almost a full year.
And how was that?
Yeah, not that bad. I mean, any browser is about the same, really. I mean, Internet Explorer is kind of a pain in the ass with a few things because I run into that a lot at work. I mean, there's a lot of compatibility issues I run into with different browsers. So
yeah, that's what I figured. If you're an Internet Explorer, it's probably school related.
I forgot to mention, Kurt the Ape and I played some, we played Magic the Gathering on Tabletop Simulator. It didn't play well.
I've
heard that of a lot of Tabletop Simulator games. Like,
well,
it
Magic
really
the Gathering has their own game now, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, yeah. But like, cards cost money, right? And then they don't cost anything.
Mm-hmm. All right, next bit of news here. Hi-Rez splits into three new studios. So Hi-Rez, they made Paladin, Smite, and most recently Realm Royale, which is doing very well, by the way. And I think that is the reason behind them splitting into three new studios, because they probably need a lot more people. There must be something, because I've seen this happen with developers before. There must be some financial reason that they do this.
No, for sure. It's kind of like when who was the one that closed all their games except for Epic? Epic didn't decide to do this. They decided to just trash all their games and just go after
what was that game?
Biggest game in the world?
Fortnite.
And just chase that down, and it worked out for them. And then this is like another approach. You're kind of compartmentalizing. What's that word?
Compartmentalizing?
Yeah. Your company, so that like if one goes down, the other one won't be affected. And so they'll probably have one on Realm Royale, one on Smite, which I'm sure is a cash cow, really. It's probably still going to keep paying for the next 5 years or something like that. So they didn't want to go down the Epic route. So this was the other option.
Mm-hmm.
Splitting it up so that one's not holding the other one down.
They got an official statement on it. Basically says that this will allow the organization to scale multiple games more easily while ensuring our existing game communities receive a better, more focused service than before.
Yeah, people have been complaining on Smite that it all seems like a cash grab at this point.
So is that like the three studios is going to be like Smite, Paladins, and
maybe. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess it would make sense because you know, Paladins might be the smallest of those games. You have a smaller group of people working on that, doing their own thing, different location. Realm Royale is the biggest. You got you can expand that more. So, yeah, I see the scalability reason.
I wonder which one's going to go down first.
Paladins would be my guess.
Yeah.
Who knows?
All right.
Still never played it. You guys ever play it?
I played it in early alpha.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why I say I haven't played it.
It's funny because Dota 2 isn't a dying MOBA, but I imagine Smite, out of all the MOBAs outside of Han, would be the dying MOBA.
It's definitely not doing as well as it was.
Do people still play Han?
I know Die Hard.
I was playing it the other day.
Die Hard.
Wow.
Yeah. There are a few. You hear the term dead game thrown around so much, but it's so hard to kill a game. It's harder to kill a game than I think a lot of people realize.
Mm-hmm.
Like Call of Duty 1, still people playing that. the example I always use is Super Monday Night Combat. Yeah, they officially shut that one down because they didn't want to spend the money to make it compliant with those GDRP, whatever the fuck, laws were. But when I stopped playing, that game was pretty popular for a little while, and I played it during that, and then it got really unpopular, and there were maybe 700 people playing that game according to the game itself. It tells you how many people are in the channel.
That game was fun, man.
Yeah, it was great.
So
700 people playing that. I'm like, all right, the game's probably dead. Community's dying out. I come back like 5 years later, still 600-700 people playing it. There's just always going to be like enough people to keep the game afloat. Like, we live in this age where we think like, well, it didn't sell 1.5 billion trillion copies, so it's obviously not successful. It's not Fortnite, so it's a dead game. I mean, people just overuse the term dead game now.
Well, there is a difference, though, because it needs to be financially viable for them to keep putting money, the company being putting money in. Like, that's not bringing in any money for them. Those people already have all the skins. They already have every single thing. So I guess that's what really makes a game, like, viable, if it's going to continue to grow at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if they still release cosmetics, people are probably going to pay for that.
Yeah.
But Warconius, you bring up Lawbreakers. See, that's a little different, though. That was a game that just never caught on. It was never big to begin with. So I think there's a little difference when people try to, like, ride the hype of a certain genre and it doesn't catch, and then they just kind of terminate it right there, rather than a game that was very popular and just kind of dwindled down. All right. We got some hardware to talk about.
Yes.
This is the first I've heard of this.
What, the NVIDIA RTX 2080?
That is it?
Yeah. So August 20th, by the time this episode airs, this will have already happened. But tomorrow, there's going to be that NVIDIA event where it's already been leaked. They're going to be revealing their new line of video cards here. It is the RTX. They're changing it from GTX to RTX, by the way. Some people don't like that. Who gives a shit?
It doesn't matter. I don't even know what GTX stands for. So
I don't know if it stands for anything. Maybe I don't think it does.
Graphics Transfer Exchange.
Yeah.
Come on.
There you go.
For the GTX.
So we got a few specs here. Price tag, I think they said it was going to be around, I saw it earlier here. It's expensive. $900 or $1,000 for the 280 Ti is what they expect. The 1080 Ti going for about $700. So that's about on point. That's what I would expect.
And this is a 2080 Ti?
Yeah.
RTX 2080
Ti. RTX 2080 Ti.
Okay.
The TDP went up a little bit, but that's okay. I mean, 250 watts is just insane. Like, for the 1080 Ti.
Is that what the 1080 Ti was using?
Yeah, 250 watts.
I had no idea.
I mean, I don't know if that's under load. I don't... Maybe it is.
I would hope so.
Look at the one before it, though. Oh, that's the RT. Never mind.
Yeah, it's just the wrong way. Yeah. So the 280 Ti is, and the 280, or the 2080, I keep calling it a 280. The 2080 is going to be 285 watts. 11 gigs of RAM on the Ti, 8 gigs. Yeah, I mean, that's good. I don't know if we need any more of that. I mean, there's a lot of technical stuff out there, but it's going to be... they'll talk a lot more details on what this actually translates into gaming at that event on the 20th. I'm excited.
RTX going for, RTX 2080 sounds like something completely new. I would expect some gigantic leap for an entire like a marketing strategy.
Yeah,
because they're changing the letter.
Oh, yeah, but they don't need to. They're already at the top of the market. Usually, when you're at the bottom of the market and you're doing shitty, that's when you rebrand. Like, it seems kind of weird that you would do it at the top of the market.
I mean, how long have they been using GTX, though?
Since the 5 series, I think.
So it's just time. That's all it comes down to, you think? This is going to be an incremental growth, just like everything else?
Yeah.
It could be just a marketing ploy.
Yeah, so you're
maybe
not expecting
it's not
that.
Leaps and bounds, but it sounds leaps and bounds, so just take my money.
Yeah. Are you expecting a giant leap, Bobby? Something new?
What is the architecture here? I can't remember what the code name is, but...
I did read that's on Reddit. Fantastic resource herself, by the way. That people are starting to... the smallest transistor ever, a single atom, is being switched on and off. And so it's 10,000 times more efficient. Obviously, they only just made one.
Right.
But once 10,000 times more efficient than the most efficient transistor.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah. Right. I don't know.
Subatomic processors.
Like, we won't know until we actually get benchmarks here.
By next week, we'll find out more, right?
I don't know when the, what do they call them now? The base models are coming out. But usually they give them a little early.
Tran.
The Founders Edition.
Founders Edition.
They got a cool name for it now, so it sounds like something special and not what it is.
I was going to say that somebody was saying, like, I have bought every Founders Edition. It's the worst edition you could buy, right, Bobby?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's kind of something they have to make in order for everybody else to modify
it. It's what they give to the other companies, and the other companies, okay, we're going to do this with cooling. We're going to overclock it here. You know, we're going to, like, perfect this and make it our own technology.
Yeah.
Well, the Founders is made by NVIDIA, right? Like they make everything.
It's from buying directly from them, and you would think you would save some money, but no. I think they want the aftermarket value to stay up. So although you'll end up paying less usually for a
Well, the thing about a Founders Edition is you get it earlier than the other ones.
Yeah.
Like that's the earliest version of the card you can get.
But it's the worst card you can get, I think. Because it's there's no discounts and you're paying full price. And it's not modified. It's not overclocked. Mm-hmm.
You're
it's
just paying a premium to get it before anyone else does.
Yeah.
But
it's a bad move.
Yeah. I expect performance gains to be on par with the 1080 Ti was. I don't think it's going to be like, you know, this is the year they bust it wide open and, you know, you know, our pixelated games that we play are going to look amazing now.
I got into a huge debate with some friends drinking one night about how, like, whether or not technology companies have more under their sleeve that they don't
release.
They don't release, and they want to do it incrementally. Like they're obviously, are they five steps ahead of what they're releasing, and only releasing step two, competing with the other guys, or are they just doing the best they can and putting out number one as soon as they can to compete with the other guys?
Yeah,
well, I think a lot of all night about this.
A lot of people don't understand it's a matter of stability too, and can you support that? You know, it's like this coming year, hopefully, we're going to be, if you haven't been in a school in a while, they use things called Promethean boards. Do you guys know what these are?
No, I think so.
Did you guys have chalkboards or whiteboards when you were in school?
Both.
Yeah. Both, yeah.
I remember chalkboards in elementary, but then by middle school, I think we had whiteboards. But now they have things called Promethean boards, which are interactive whiteboards.
Yeah, I've seen these.
And so these are like the old models that we have here. They have a short throw projector with a mirror right there. It's bullshit. The upkeep on this is so much more expensive than the newest version, which is just like a big, like LED touchscreen, basically.
Which is better?
Which is super expensive, the LED touchscreen, obviously.
All right.
Because it's way more expensive, but you don't have to factor in things like replacing the bulbs, the upkeep. After a few years, and this isn't a school. This gets used like fucking 8 hours a day,
right?
Every day. So these go out quick. You got to replace the bulb like once or twice a year.
Which costs like what?
Bulbs anywhere from like 100 to 200 bucks, depending on it.
So that was my guess.
But, you know, you're talking about school districts where you're buying in thousands. But then you also have to deep clean the projector. Like, and there's just so many things. So you got to take into the fact upkeep and stability. So if like a company's like, we can do this, like we could totally do this, but is it going to work for everybody? Is there going to be issues? Are we going to have to spend a lot of money in tech support? You know, are we going to have to support all these... everything that comes along.
Yeah, I think the heart of the argument was, do they have a bunch of technology that is mass consumer ready that they're holding off on? Not stuff that are unstable that they're holding off on. Obviously, you would hold on to that. Anyway, I don't even remember what side of the argument I took. I think I said that, no, they're putting it out as fast as they can.
I don't think it's as much of an argument as like them. Like I think it's all about money, like what's going to be more profitable for them,
Bobby, I love that you have this like insight to this problem that nobody else, like maybe less one tenth of 1% maybe might know the projector problem in the local schools.
I mean, that's just an example.
Yeah, no, I get it.
That could be applied to so many things.
Right.
Because a lot of people think, they don't understand how things work on such a larger scale, I think. People think like, well, I want a really fast so-and-so. It's like, well, do you? I mean, think about like that times, think about scalability. That's the thing, the term you always use in big businesses. Does it scale? Does it scale? Like, and a lot of things don't scale.
No, in 20 years, they're definitely going to be like, hey, remember, we don't want to be like the big projector revolution of F-18.
Yeah, it's coming.
It's coming.
Yeah.
Get ready. All right.
Just to throw this really quick in hardware, I bought a new monitor.
Oh,
and
sweet.
It's because I had no idea how budget my monitor was. Because it's, I mean,
I'm using a similar monitor.
Yeah. So I have an Asus monitor, but it's only, I think I bought it back in 2013, and it's only 60 hertz. And while I was playing Counter-Strike, somebody brought it up, you know, the conversation of my monitor, and they're like, if you're not on 144, it's going to hurt you. And so I went ahead and
that is really cheap.
Yeah. Bought.
Well, it's a 1080.
Yeah. I bought a 1080 144 hertz Asus off of Amazon. I missed the $20 coupon, unfortunately, but
missing all the coupons this week.
I know. So I bought it for 280 after taxes and stuff, close to three. I'm excited to get it. I get it Monday. Because when I do get it, I'll get to change my entire desk setup.
Why? How big is your one now?
Desk?
My monitor?
Yeah,
I'm using 224-inch ones, I think.
Oh, 224s.
Yeah,
okay.
Or like 23. I measured it diagonally.
23.6 is like a 24-inch monitor.
Yeah, so that's, I probably am using a 24 right now, which is just fine. But the one that I'm using, it's so budget and outdated that I'm using books to stack up my monitor. And like Bobby gave me his adjustable stand, but I'm using that for the monitor he gave me too. So, and I have that vertical on one side, and now I'm just going to completely redo my desk with the new monitor.
We need one for a 6-year-old. So if you want to,
I do have
jump that over.
So I have two spare monitors.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Once I get my new one, right. So I'll hand one to you.
You replacing both monitors with this one?
No, I have a spare. I have three monitors in my place right now. So I have one that's definitely a spare, and then I'll have a second spare.
Minnie, take it from the person who moved there. She has three of everything.
It's true, but no utensils. Not one single fork in my house right now still. Yeah. But no.
It looks like a good monitor, though. I mean, it's high refresh rate, low response time. The only thing that I would have recommended would be an IPS instead of a TN. However, you'd pay a lot more for that.
What's that even?
It's the type of display. So like a TN panel is what's in majority monitors there. If you go with IPS, and I'll never go back to TN after moving to IPS, you get better viewing angles, and you get a lot better color. The colors are just a lot more vibrant.
I guess I must not be that picky, because if I have been perfectly content and not even realizing that the occasional screen tearing and, you know, frame restrictions that I've had, like if I've been tolerating what I've been using, once I get my new monitor, I'm very excited to actually see if I see a difference. But I've never emphasized my monitor or even paid attention to what I was buying. I think when I got my last monitor, I was like, okay, this is good for the price and for the time being. Mm-hmm. So I'll just like settle with that.
You'll notice a difference. You spend enough time gaming that you'll notice the high refresh rate.
Awesome.
I was at Western Clash last weekend, and one of the teams there from Europe was talking about how they didn't realize they were playing on a low refresh rate monitor. They sat down at the computers at Blizzard Arena and they were like, why is everything so smooth? This is totally different from what I'm used to. And they had been playing on a 60 hertz monitor. And I think a lot of people are like,
and I'm pretty sure
you got to go out of your way to get a high refresh. Well, maybe not anymore. They're getting a little more common.
Yeah, there's only 280 for a 144. I remember 144s like a few years ago were like $400.
Yeah.
So you definitely had to shell out
and
some
still,
money.
Like, if
well,
that wasn't...
$280 isn't that much, because my brothers, I talked to the both of them, and they basically got the same exact monitor as me. One of... My big brother got it for $220, and my little brother got it for $185.
Oh, shit.
So I actually, in my opinion, for what I'm buying, I overpaid. Yeah. So...
It's a thick bezel too. That looks just like the monitor I have at work, the old Asus with the 3D. Mine's got a little notch up here with the 3D built in, but I use it at work now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they make good monitors, and that, you're definitely going to notice a difference with that.
Awesome. That's what I'm going for.
Cool. All right, is Emilio back? I think we're ready for listening.
Walk yeah. back right now.
So when and I actually have to leave after like in 5 minutes. So
okay. Well,
is there?
You're just in time. We're going to start listening questions. I'm wondering if there's any, I think these first ones will probably be the best ones for you to answer. Let's see. Kurt the Ape asks, any recommendations on monitor arms, the kind that clamp to your desk and can support a 27-inch monitor?
I like his follow-up that you put in there. How many helium balloons would I need to hold up a 24-inch monitor? It's not the balloons. It's a constant maintenance, dude.
Yeah. And you have the upkeep. Yeah, does the upkeep. It scale? I mean, where are you going to get these balloons out a year from now?
Yeah.
And how are you going to make sure it stays in the perfect place when the wind draft comes? And
yeah. Do you really want a clamp or do you want like a wall mount monitor holder? I personally would love a wall mount monitor holder versus a desk clamp.
Desk. I don't like mounting things on walls.
I would never move my desk. Once I found a spot for my desk, it stays there. But
I've
with
never
like
used
a wall mount,
you too.
But here's the thing: the reason why I say that is because when I game, I notice that my monitor shakes because I game very aggressive. I'm always playing with low.
What's going on over
I play with very
Tyler
low.
One over here.
what is his like protein powder called, or his like energy powder?
Oh,
his
own.
Yeah, he has his very.
Can't remember what that
but
is.
Anyways, no. So so I play with very low sensitivity. So I'm always constantly lifting up my mouse and slamming it back down.
Stop
lifting up my
doing
mouse.
That.
No, fuck no. No,
turn up your sensitivity.
I can't. No, I can't. That's
yes,
no.
Can.
That's like asking. No.
Yes.
No.
Oh, the face she made. She was so offended when you suggested that.
I'm like, no, you did not suggest me changing.
You know
my
that thing you're doing that causes eight problems? You can fix it.
It's no, by not no, doing it. No. It's like I need it to go a certain speed when I'm playing, like, because I don't want to have to constantly adjust my like my mouse
DPI.
Or how I like to move my hands. I'm not frustrated that I have to lift up my mouse. It's just that because of how I play, I need to lift up my mouse. You know, when I touch mice that have way too high sensitivity, I get grossed out. Like my instant reaction is, ew, disgusting. Why? I barely touch the mouse and all of a sudden my like cursor is off screen.
I don't
hate
like beer
that.
The first time I
it's
drank
like a
it,
pet peeve.
And then I learned that it's fantastic.
I feel the same way about
it's
low sensitivity, like having to move my hand across
that's
it.
It's like, it's just a preference.
Sure.
And
but
well,
one
anyways,
makes your screen
it's
shake.
Like fucking Goldilocks over here.
That's the thing. So yeah, forget the refresh rate. I got to just stop my desk from vibrating. So yeah. I think, I don't think I would go with a clamp.
And this is why I like this portion of the podcast the best.
So,
but no, this is my heart out. So that's my little ass itty bitty. But I'm gonna call it here. And you guys, I gotta go to work. All right, good luck,
bye.
Guys.
Finish right,
the podcast. All right, see
thanks.
You.
So, hey, this vertical monitor stand we're looking at right here. Do they have one where, or does this one, like, I would like to have that, but I want the top one to be like more angled down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they tilt. This is what I have. Mine's a little bit different. I like the base better on mine, but this is pretty much exactly what I have. This is a vertical mount, and I started using this after having a monitor mounted on the left side vertically, and then one just horizontal in front of me. Now I have them stacked on top, both horizontal, and the top one is tilted down. The only problem I have with this is for a 27-inch, I cannot get this bottom monitor high enough. Like, I feel like it's lower than my eye level should be.
Oh, yeah?
But if I move it up any more, then the top one has to come up higher, and then now I have to, like, crane my...
You got any textbooks?
Yeah. Yeah, I need some books to stack these things on top of.
Bye, Chi.
Bye.
See you later, Chi. So, I don't know. I'm liking the vertical mount a little bit better, but if you're looking for one that mounts to a desk, I'm not sure. I've never used one like that.
I mean, you could just get a C-clamp and mount this to a desk.
No, they sell them.
Oh, yeah, right there.
Yeah, here's some, but that's got to be a pretty sturdy desk. You're putting a lot of faith in that if you're putting two monitors. And 27-inch, like, these are all, any monitor stand that you get is going to be able to handle 27-inch. They're all rated for that. That's about the biggest you can get with some of these, depending on it. I mean, you could get ones made for larger ones, but...
So I haven't looked at my the back of my GTX 1070. What do you think the possibility of it holding four monitors is?
What the fuck are you up to, man?
I'm running three monitors, and then I'm looking at this vertical stand. I was like, I want to get another monitor, but then I'm looking at this vertical stand. Like, I could just put another monitor and just mount
it higher.
I'm sure
you could.
Be like a super villain.
It definitely doesn't have.
So you got a display port, HDMI, another display port.
So
another display port.
What's that one on the right? That display port on the right.
Wait, this one?
The big one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's DVI.
So I'm using a DVI for one of my crappier monitors, and then I use an HDMI for the other ones.
But I don't have three. I had big problems.
I need to check that out because, like, I just want to be like an evil genius, you know?
Yeah.
Just like have that whole like.
But if you have a 35-inch, if you have an ultra wide, can have four easily workable screens on that one screen.
Oh, I can even have five. I have.
Yeah. It sounds like you need an ultra wide if it's really about screen space. Unless you want like separate monitors just to have like, you know,
evil
a game
genius
in one.
Yeah. It's like, what was that? The movie, the Swordfish, when he's like hacking all those computers and he has like seven different monitors.
The Hydra or whatever.
Yeah, that's exactly, bro. Yeah. Wow. Was the last time you saw that movie? It's impressive.
Dude, if you would have said the Hydra, I wouldn't have been able to say Swordfish, but somehow it worked the other way around.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right. Next question coming from NJ Slap. We might have missed some questions from last week. I think we got some in last moment, or we missed some in the chat.
So. Yeah, this was definitely not on purpose.
Okay.
We just definitely missed it.
Yeah, apologies if we did. We got a three-part question here. What kind of vehicle do you guys drive on a daily basis?
Well, we went a little... Bobby drives a gyrocopter, and Minnie's on a motorcycle only with
Uzis,
and she's on a pring bicycle.
Rickshaw.
Yeah, rickshaw. No, I drive a, might as well call it a Denali Sierra 2500. Look it up. This is why I'm stressed that I'm not making money right now. Look it up and how much that costs brand new.
what year is that?
You've talked about your
15.
Bike.
Oh, wow.
I bought it. It was 52,000, 2 years old with 36,000 miles on it.
Damn.
And the other thing is older ones are going for more than the new ones right now.
Really?
Because of the EPA standards that they put on the new ones. Hmm. Anyway.
The Denalis are nice, man. I love Denalis.
Yeah.
I didn't know that one was. So
it's got all the packaging. I didn't want... It's a long story.
Yeah.
Basically, the demand is so high, they can't make them fast enough. So the only ones that they make are Denalis. Because why would you sell a cheap one with the diesel engine if you can't make them fast enough? So they only make the top end, and they sell out as soon as they show up. So it sucks.
You know, the reason I like Denalis is I think it's because when I used to work at U-Haul a long time ago, there was this lady that would always come in, and she was from South Africa, and she was so hot, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, she was so hot. She had this badass Denali. She just like rent a trailer from us, and I just hook it up for her like every time she came in.
She could trailer?
Huh?
She could trailer?
Oh, yeah.
See, that's hot, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like being able to drive a trailer and all that. Ooh, back it up. Oh, that girl could back it up.
We got to invite her to some Battlefield 5 games.
Get that trailer going. And, Bobby, you've had your car since it's brand new?
No,
it's been a long
time. My car's a 2003. I think I bought it in 2010. Yeah.
Well, what is it?
It's a 350Z.
That was a dream of a car for me.
It's a good car. I really like the car. It's the first Asian car I've ever had.
Not
a Ford
anymore.
Or Chevy. Yeah,
it doesn't matter anymore. They're all half and half.
But I mean, all my cars are old. I mean, I drove a fucking 93 Coupe to Ville and or Cadillac, and then I had a 73 Malibu for the longest time. Like, all my cars, I remember like getting this car and be like, holy shit, air conditioning, cup holders, like I was fucking living the dream. But it's a good car. It's just, it's got some miles on it, but I'll probably get a lot more out of it. I'm running that thing into the ground.
We have a strong disagreement about his car. He says he can get 10 more years out of it.
Well, I've been saying that for like 2 years.
Yeah,
3 years.
Yeah, you're not going to get it.
I mean, you don't think so, but I think you can. Out of a Nissan?
Have you sat in it?
I have not. I've never been inside it.
I bought it off a guy who, it's been lowered. Yeah. So the guy who had it before me did, he put rims on it, put some shit under the hood. Like, it's had a lot of work done.
It looks great. It's a great looking car.
Yeah, it needs a little bit of paint now on the bumper. I've replaced the bumper 2 times, and I'm like, there's no fucking way I'm replacing the bumper a 3rd time. Like, I'm just going to smash into some shit on the freeway again. And it hasn't happened yet, so I don't know. Maybe it's time to replace the bumper.
You should definitely get those wheels clean too. Those wheels are pretty.
Oh yeah, it needs a bath. I never wash my fucking car, dude. Like, I don't. I used to be a car guy, but not like I could care less. I got like a 1,000-watt JL Audio amp in there. I got a 14-inch subwoofer. Like, I got that shit is decked out. I could bang that shit really loud if I wanted to. And it's got tinted windows, like all this cool stuff. But
for
I don't
the PC
care.
Gamer podcast.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, just to play my podcast loud.
I know a guy that details cars if you're interested. He's really cheap, really good.
I would be interested in that. I've gone through so many detailing guys, and usually it's like,
is he mobile?
Yeah,
mobile detail. Well,
the guy I'm talking about,
But I would love that if you got a reliable guy, because usually like I lose touch with them, or they stop doing it, or like they're hard to get a hold of. Like, I've been through so many detailing guys.
Definitely hook you up with them.
She drives a Nissan
Sentra.
Sentra?
Sentra? Yeah, I think it's a Sentra.
Or is it a Camry?
Not a Camry.
Not a Camry.
It's
a Nissan.
It's a Nissan? Okay. Yeah,
maybe an Altima. I don't know.
Yeah, but it looks like a Camry. It's
maybe
that older body style.
Altima.
Altima? Like an older one, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's probably
it's
like 15 years old. 10 or 15 years old.
I think it was 2010.
Yeah.
So she's pretty proud of that. My
she
worst...
She says she never has problems with it. So
my worst car, except for that whole battery deal.
I don't remember that.
Okay.
Yeah, she had to get a new battery. That was it.
That happened.
Yeah, well, we were having like a group text on like, was the alternator?
Well, because you guys were trying to do the guy thing. You're like, oh, you're probably the alternator. Did you turn it and it make a little noise? Yeah, oh, yeah, it might be. You should take it to a guy. I'm like, dude, it's a fucking battery.
Wasn't that her boyfriend's car?
Her boyfriend
at that time?
I don't know.
All right. I think it was Max's car that wasn't turning on. I don't know.
Anyways.
Yeah. Even when she's not here, she ruins the podcast.
I went to the car show. I think I talked about this. I went to the car show this year that they do at the beginning of the year in January just to check out the new cars. They didn't have the new 370Z. I was very
didn't invite me, by the way. Didn't invite anybody. He likes to do things.
I bet he's going to BlizzCon, too. Didn't even tell anybody.
Yeah. Are you going, Bobby?
If I can, yeah. They're having a 3rd day where they sell tickets.
Oh, when?
Well, they never do. Tomorrow, I think. Really soon. Check it out. But they never do this. It's like a 3rd day they're selling tickets. Probably still won't get it, but maybe we can
connect.
Maybe we can make something happen. But if I get the opportunity 100%, I'm going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my most recent car was actually my worst car that I've ever had in my life. I was so broke and I bought it for like $600. It was a 1983 Chrysler LeBaron.
Oh, the LeBaron. Dude, every time those cars were... Those cars are fucking classic, dude. And every time I hear LeBaron, I think of that thing from that Tom Green movie.
Which?
I can't remember, but...
Freddy Got Fingered?
I think it was Freddy Got Fingered. He's like, where's your LeBaron, Scotty? Where's Scotty's LeBaron? I only see one LeBaron. And he just keeps saying LeBaron. That movie was so fucking bad, but it cracks me
up. That car was such a piece of shit. It was like a 4-cylinder car, but like 2 of the cylinders were misfiring. And I could not pass emissions with this thing. Like, it wouldn't like...
See, this is the first car I've ever had that I had to smog. Yeah. I might have had to smog the Cadillac.
How old are you, Minnie?
31.
Life gets way better, dude. In certain aspects,
well, I mean, it already has. Better. Like, in the past 2 years, my life has gone on such an uphill.
Oh, yeah. Once you get out of the 20s, it's...
Dude, I had a shitty car, like a super shitty car, like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like I had a Kia Sophia. Dude.
Okay,
it was vagina red.
Yeah. So
look, hold on. Let me explain to you how girly and shitty this car was. I came to find an advertisement on my car for a women's gym. That was only on like Volkswagen Rabbits and like. Do you see what I'm saying?
Like a leopard print.
None of the pickup trucks had this flyer on it. None of the pickup trucks I was parked next to.
Chad
used to call it the red veg.
That's terrible.
I'd fight crime.
So I feel like my life before, like, the whole, I guess, the Great Recession, like, 2006 era,
yeah,
my life was going so well, and then that shit happened, and then everything dope. Because I was driving a brand new Hyundai Tiburon, and I was making payments on it.
Those were sick. I remember that.
Yeah, it was nice, cool, dude. Like, yeah.
And really cool body styling.
And then I lost my job, and then I had to sell everything. It was terrible. But, yeah, right now, still riding that Honda CBR 600.
Dwarfurious.
All right, next part of this question from NJ Slap. Have the fires in California affected you guys in any sort of way?
Except for burning up my grandma, no.
Your grandma?
No, I'm just kidding.
I know, they haven't come down this far.
Dude, California is the biggest 11th biggest economy in the world, and the second or third biggest state. It's bigger than all of Europe. It's like giant. So they sound terrible, and they are. But we're not even affected.
So where slightly. I am in 29 Palms, it has been kind of darkening the skies, and everything's a little,
oh, really?
Has,
oh, like a little tough smoky. It's kind of dark. I'm fucking with you.
Yeah, you are.
No, it hasn't. I mean, when's the last time we had a big fire down in San Diego, though? Because it has happened.
Long time ago.
That was the one. 2007?
2002?
No, the Sabre Springs.
There was one. That one.
The Spring Valley
there was
one.
There was one in 2007. That was a little further up north, but still San Diego-ish. But there was one in like 04, 05, where I walked out my front door, yeah, and the sky was red. I thought it was, dude, the fucking apocalypse.
Dude, me too.
There was ash just coming down, and the sky was, I'm not kidding, red.
Nobody tells me, nobody fucking, like, I tell this story, and nobody's like, listen to what Bobby just said. It, yeah, sounds crazy, right? Like, that can, no conditions could make that. A fire couldn't make that. But I used to work graveyard at the time, and I got off of work at 6 a.m., and I started driving home on the 15. And I'm the only car, and the sky is red, and the radio will not work.
Oh, shit.
And ash is falling. And I was like, we got bumped. This is the only explanation. What is going on?
Yeah.
And you can't really call people at 6 a.m. I don't even know if my phone would have even worked. But the ash was dense, dude. And you would drive by cars, and they were just gray with ash.
Oh, man.
Dude, that was rough.
It was like straight out of a movie, man.
But these ones, no. I mean, it happens every year. Well, people die.
The first year I moved here, 2015, there was a pretty big fire in Spring Valley. I remember my cousins had, like, move out of their house for, like, a few days.
No, Spring Valley, that's okay. We can let that town go.
Yeah. I mean,
we don't need Spring Valley.
I'm just saying it was here in
San Diego.
Sounds
like a nice place.
Yeah, that place sucks.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Have you guys ever had any interesting experiences with buying things from people on Craigslist? Holy shit, dude. First of all, I don't do that anymore for damn good reasons. But I remember one time I was selling old USB sticks on Craigslist, because this was like back when like USB sticks were like a thing that people would buy on Craigslist. But it was actually at that 7-Eleven down by your old place where you and Chad used to live. And I always remember that 7-Eleven, that incident there. But
me and Chad used to live in a lot of places. So
like the most recent one.
Oh, okay.
But this guy was like a straight up crackhead. I sold my old computer case because on Craigslist, that actually went smoothly. But yeah, dude, you have to wade through so much garbage. Just eBay.
Yeah, I mean, eBay. No. Craigslist. I remember buying an iPhone, and it was like the most pleasant thing. Like we met at a Starbucks. The guy had everything in a case. He unveiled his merchandise. He showed me the pamphlet and everything, and I was like, "This is my first Craigslist experience." And everything was perfect. Like Asian guy, very like matter of fact, and I was like, mm-hmm, here's the money, and he's like, here's
he was probably working out of a cell phone store, because there were a lot of people who advertise on Craigslist.
Yeah,
like back when I did computer like break fix repair, like we'd advertise on Craigslist all the time.
And so no, as far as crazy ones, no,
I don't think I've ever bought anything off Craigslist. I do remember reading a story where a guy bought a grilled cheese sandwich on it, but that's like, man, the craziest thing I can think of.
You can go to there's entertainment on Craigslist. You can go to Craigslist and click on best of Craigslist, and that's where like people like, I don't know how it gets there, but the craziest things that are on there, okay, are on there, and you can read it and just like, mm-hmm, oh my god, people are the worst. And then there's a movie coming out produced by Zach Galifianakis. It's so weird that I just did this 2 days ago. If you click on it, you see the preview for the movie, which is a documentary about a guy who tries to get the cross-country with $0, erases every phone number in his phone, no bank accounts, nothing, and tries to get across the country only using Craigslist and a laptop. And I don't know, who knows how it goes, but wow, it's called Craigslist, Joe. And that seems pretty cool. But Craigslist is definitely a thing. They recently got rid of their personals ads. So
their personals?
Yeah. So you can't fuck anymore on Craigslist.
Well, a long time ago, they got rid of the... it wasn't personals, but it was like whatever they called, like the place where you go to get a prostitute or a massage or whatever. But now they've just completely done away with personals.
Yeah. Because everybody was using it just to fucking escort anyway. What was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, Bigger, Stronger, Faster. You have heard of this documentary? It's on Netflix, or it was on Netflix, about steroids.
Nope.
So some guy did this thing about steroids. It's a really good documentary. And then he went another one. The one for the follow-up one was called Prescription Thugs, talking about the pill epidemic we have in the United States and how he's...
Oh, is this the one related to the Olympics you're talking about?
No, not that one. That one's called Icarus. That one's really
Icarus,
good, too.
Yeah.
But this guy, so he did the steroids one, and him and his brothers were on it, which is like a different perspective, right? Like, we're using, and let me report on it as well, which is... like a different perspective than your usual documentarian. Then the second one was Prescription Thugs, because they were all on pain pills because they were all damaged from lifting super crazy weights all the time, their whole lives, right? So the interesting thing was that he went to talk to a congressman about being able to buy Vicodin and all this shit on Craigslist, right? And you could just meet a guy. So he went to talk to the congressman, and he's like, so what are we going to do about being able to buy these prescription drugs on Craigslist? And the congressman's like, you can buy prescription drugs on Craigslist? And he's like, yeah. So then they fast forward to like a week later. And we have a new bill for stopping fucking being able to sell shit on the Craigslist. Anyway, fast forward to the end of the film. Turns out he was hooked on drugs the entire time. He had just bought drugs off of Craigslist. The documentarian, and his brother died during the filming from an overdose from, pills are a motherfucker. Is this a game about podcasts? I mean, is this a podcast about games?
A game about podcasts. Yeah. Well, when we get to the listener questions, I think it's nice that we can go kind of off topic there.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Final bit from NJ Slap. What are some of your hobbies that you enjoy doing besides playing video games? Ooh, not much.
I like thinking about businesses. I like trying to figure out how I'm going to make money. I like that. Like different little things. Like the little salsa company. We'll see where that goes. That's one of mine. Besides that, I like making money, man. If I'm making money, I get like a buzz. If I'm making like a really good day, you know, and like I just made four and now I'm making five and then I'm going to another job and make six, I'm like fucking on fire. I love doing that shit. Besides that, I don't know. I don't watch a whole lot of TV. So that's about it. Fucking.
What about you, Minnie?
Working on and riding the motorcycle, pretty much. That's pretty much it right now.
Did you ever get those fenders done or whatever they're called?
The fairings? No, not until I'm done with this job, dude.
All right. Well, I'm going to keep asking because I forget. Thanks. And now you're... Why are you forget shaming me, man?
Because you ask me like every week.
All right. Well, stop working every week.
So I should be done with that job this week.
Oh, my God, that's going to be so nice.
Yeah, definitely will be.
Can imagine. Hobbies outside of games, movies, definitely for me. Reading. I tend to get, like, into something, and then, like, I'm all about it for a little while, and then I kind of drop it. But, yeah, the most consistent things, movies, music. Although I'm not really... The older I get, the less I care about music, but...
How so? Like, are you just not interested in the new artists coming out?
Or not interested in the new music coming out, and then just not really enjoying mainstream music. Okay. But playing piano, harmonica, trumpet, more piano recently. But, like, I really like classic music. Like, I've got this whole weird theory that makes me sound like a lunatic, but I think classical music is like the only real music out there.
Is there everything a derivative from it?
Kind of. But here's the thing about classical music, especially if you're playing on a piano, it's just instrumental. And music, you listen to it, it makes you feel these things, think these things, you kind of create your own definition of it. But all the music now is much, they have lyrics, they kind of, I don't know. A lot of them are just... It's music just to, like, I don't know, make money
for the time.
But I find music with lyrics to be so, like,
I don't like I don't it either.
What's the word? It's like matter of fact. It's like you're telling me what the song is about or what I'm supposed to feel.
Instead
from
of my
it,
interpretation.
You know?
Sure. Of
yeah,
your
instead
art.
Of my interpretation. Right. And if you listen to like a really good classical song, and I like think of 1600s when this song was made, like people just sitting there listening to it, like how powerful that must have been for them. Like it's just insane. So I don't know. I've really been into classical music lately.
Yeah, I remember taking a college course that focused on classical music, and it was definitely eye-opening on how that evolved.
Oh, yeah, all the four big periods.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you take a music appreciation class, it's very informative, and that usually satisfies whatever general ed degree you need for a college. For
like so I remember like 15 years ago that thing came out where if you play classical music for babies while they're in the womb, and also like when they're growing up, it helps them out tremendously.
Wasn't that like debunked though?
I think it was.
I'd imagine it would be. I would think that the only people that have classical music hanging around are people that are going to do well anyway.
Yeah, afford private schools and all that.
But Baby Einstein is pretty cool. You guys ever seen that? It's like a kid's show with like rudimentary art. Just, you know, they're doing their... There's a problem, then we solve the problem. But the whole time, there's Mozart playing in the background or whatever, and they do it to the music. I thought it was really cool. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I thought it was all about Doc McStuffins. You guys know what that is?
No.
Yeah, you don't need to.
Okay.
Let's not get into
Sounds
that.
Sounds like a porn film. Or producer, sorry.
It kind of does, man. It kind of does. All right. Next question coming from Afro Dragon. What do we think of sites like G2A and Kinguin?
He had a really long thing, and I just squashed it up into this.
Yeah.
So basically, are you okay paying $5 to $10 less for stuff if you know that someone somewhere is getting hurt by it? Usually, the company.
Yeah, the company.
It's weird, right?
I mean, I used to use G2A a lot. I used to sell a lot of games on there as well, like any extras I got from bundles. But I never used them
legitimately.
Yeah, I was doing it.
There's nothing wrong about that.
And I think it's a bit of a gray market, but I never use them anymore. If it's a small game that I want to, that I don't care if like I lost a few bucks from buying it from the site, then yeah, I'll purchase something on there. But for the most part, I don't really want to support them. And also I wouldn't, because I bought Grand Theft Auto 5 on G2A and that ended up getting taken out of my account. They did refund my money. Their customer service, although they always come through, is kind of difficult to deal with. I've never used Kinguin, though. I don't know about that.
I think it's just a new version of the same thing. That's why I put... He didn't even mention G2A, but I know it's a peer-to-peer key selling.
So
I brought up the biggest one.
I've used both, and I don't use them anymore because of the same reason Bobby mentioned, but I remember I bought Evolve on G2A, and...
Well, that was a mistake right there, right?
I enjoyed that game, and I got my money out of it, definitely. But... I remember when I got the key, it was like a picture of like somebody's cell phone picture of a key that they took out of a box. And like, dude, they probably stole from like a Target. Exactly. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is kind of shitty. I mean, it worked.
Yeah,
it worked. But yeah,
I mean, there's always some form of this, dude. Yeah. I remember buying Doom 3 off of eBay for like $6 from like Taiwan.
It was
or
just
some
a code.
Yeah, it was like a code. And I don't know like how it worked. That's all I really cared about. And this is before you even really needed, you just needed a key to activate the game. It didn't need to go through Steam. It wasn't on some sort of online launcher or anything. But yeah, I don't know. There's always been forms of this out there. But
okay, so let's just like try to wrap this up in a bow. What's the worst case scenario that, so basically that, right? That like maybe a local retailer got ripped off. And you're paying a key that way, or
well, the worst case would be that these keys don't work, and now you're.
Well, you
there was
right
that
back.
Whole thing with some publisher where they came out, they called them out specifically G2A.
That was a big thing. I forgot who they were. Tiny Build.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's not healthy for the whole system. So I don't like supporting it, but at the same time, I'm usually able to look past that if like I can get a good deal. Like I don't really care that much, but
that's a great way to say it, dude. Like. Buying from these are ultimately bad for gaming? Is that fair to say?
If it becomes an epidemic, yeah.
Any form of piracy hurts gaming.
But is it piracy? Because these are legit
some
keys.
It's a gray market. I mean, some of them totally
It's way
legit.
Better than getting a torrent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because money is being exchanged. I don't know. It's weird, man. Know. Yeah. It's more than gray. It's on the darker side of gray, and we can't answer why. It feels better not to use them. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Is that where we land?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. The older I get, the less I want to do like some of those like back alley deals and shit. I'm just like, just give me the fucking game, dude. I got a job. I got the money. Like, let's not do the fucking work around here. And all right. Anyway, moving on. Bill the Heel.
Beirut says a lot of things, Kurt.
What did you say?
And that's probably true.
To the mafia. Which mafia, though?
Yeah.
The Russian mafia, the Chinese mafia, the gay mafia?
The gay mafia?
Who's at the root of this?
Damn, I want to find those people. anybody who... You guys know about Singapore? They're like the biggest...
I know, it's a country.
I know. They're the biggest booming economy in the world for the last 5 years or whatever.
Okay.
As far as like... They're not the top, but as far as like where they've been and where they've gone, have you looked at the architecture of where they are? It's like going to a future world, dude.
Really?
They are incorporating forests into their buildings.
What?
So there's trees growing.
Oh, forests. Okay.
Yeah, growing all around the outside of their and the top of their.
Yeah, that's an art style design. Dude. I can't remember the name of the guy, but like in the 1920s, there was a guy who had all these like. Designs of building structures into nature. I can't remember the name of it.
But also, it looks like a super modern city. Apparently, their transition system, it's like, it's kind of like Uber and Lyft and all that, but they
like Cyberpunk 2077
Pretty much. Yeah. But there's 10 of them, and then if you say you want to go from somewhere to somewhere, it's whoever's closest gets the bid. And so, like, you can travel. I don't know. It looks... It seems like an awesome place to visit. It's a high on my list.
Okay.
All right, next question from Bill the Heel. Any thoughts on Diablo 3 coming to the Switch and possibility of future Blizzard games coming to it? Perhaps cross-play with PC players when it makes sense?
I guess this will only
let me tell you, Bill. I read a headline recently, and it said that Overwatch is feasible on the Switch, but StarCraft is not. Probably because it's more...
It just doesn't fit that platform.
It really
would. Oh, as far as controls?
Yeah.
Really? Is that the first thing you guys think about?
Controls, concept, like
I thought
anything.
It was more because it was...
The demographic that plays that.
Because of violence?
No, I thought it was more CPU intensive as far as...
There's probably technical reasons as well.
Yeah, it's a headline.
I mean, I can't imagine playing RTS with a controller or a touchscreen. That would just...
The Switch is taking over the world, including this podcast soon. So that's my answer.
No, I've been really good about getting the Switch not on the podcast. Like, I don't want to talk. I've been playing a lot of games on the Switch, but I'm not talking about any of them.
Well, here's the deal, dude. Like,
what a lot of games?
Dragon Ball Z, the new Monster
Hunter. The Fighters?
Yeah.
One? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Monster Hunter. Dead Cells is the only one that I did talk about because it's a direct copy.
Right.
It was made
by... I think you could talk about Fighters. I want to hear about it.
There's nothing to say. It's a 2D fighter with Dragon Ball characters.
Right. There it is. That's an official DLG review right there. But the Switch is like if you're going to buy a console, I think that's where it's at. Because there was a day when you buy a console that had the best graphics and the coolest games. And now it's like you just can't beat the PC. Yeah. PC's always going to have the best graphics. We got great games out there.
The most games,
But the Switch is just like, hey, we're going to make something that's portable, that's easy to use, that's fun for everybody. Like I don't know. I think it's going to come down to like Switch or PC. Like I really do think that
until the house computers come out.
Until the house computers.
Still waiting on those.
So as far as Diablo 3 coming, I mean, they already have that on other consoles, right? The PS4 and the Xbox. I'm pretty sure Diablo 3 is already out on those.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, it seems good, but I'm not going to get it. I mean, I've already had my fill of Diablo 3 on the PC.
I'm not going back to Diablo 3. I can't do that.
No. All right, moving on.
All right, next up, Feelin' Froggy asks, is it too late to get into WoW? When WoW was popular, I was more into consoles, Madden, and Call of Duty, but these days I think I would like WoW. Is the learning curve too steep for a new player at this point? Will I be too confused by all the lore? You don't need to pay attention to lore. I don't.
I never did.
Yeah. Nope. I mean, I know, like, Arthas isn't a good guy and, like, kind of the general concepts there, but... have you played an MMO before? I mean, WoW is, you know, it's pretty involved. There's a lot to it, but you kind of take it at your own pace.
And,
you know, you can do whatever you want in that game. I mean, you can try it out for free for 10 games or 10 days, see if you like it. I highly recommend it. It's definitely not too late. Now's the best time to get into it. I mean, the game's never been better and it's never been more accessible.
What's the monthly fee on that?
$15 a month. Or I think if you get the 6 months, it's 13, and they don't have a year one anymore.
Do you have to like buy the base game now, or how does that work? Because it used to be you have to buy the base game and every expansion that comes out.
I think
out.
You just have to buy the new expansion.
Okay.
But I don't know how that works. Like, if you can just get... I don't know how that works.
I think, what was that growl?
Yeah, I strongly disagree. I feel like you have to buy every the original, expansion? At least the original and the new one.
Okay, I would think the original game because you can, plus the new
you
expansion.
You don't have to ever start at level one. You can start whatever expansion you buy, you can start at the base of that. So what's the level cap, Bobby?
120.
120. So you can start at 110. You can just make a character at 110 and start from there.
Damn.
Okay. Yeah, so I don't know if you can just buy World of Warcraft. I think you have to get Battle for Azeroth, like the newest version of it. So yeah, $50, and then you're looking at it's expensive.
And then the monthly fee.
But it's the best one out there.
I was recently offered this, the base game, and a year subscription, and I was like, give it somebody else.
Oh, for free?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have said the same thing.
Yeah, you probably, you don't want any of this shit, do you?
Like, thank you so much for that reference, dude. You don't want any of this shit, do we?
Nobody remembers that
movie. Completely over my head.
Dude, way over. Dewey the
Dewey Cox.
Dewey Cox.
Walkhart, the Dewey Cox. Right.
Oh, yes.
It's so good.
Yeah, that was a good.
It's a little so longer. Good.
But the thing that people forget is it came out.
And there's no hangover. Well, it's really expensive. It's the cheapest high you can get, Dewey.
The best part is at the end when they're all old and everything. It's like, what you got there? He's like, it's, what
Viagra,
is it?
Right?
Yeah, Viagra. It's like, it makes your dick hard and you can fuck like you're 20. You don't want any of this shit. And it's just like at every stage. But that movie came out right after. The Johnny Cash
movie. Walk the Line.
Yeah, so I think a lot of the jokes, like where he just is constantly ripping sinks off the wall, like people aren't going to remember like that.
I don't think it. Yeah, but that was the majority of it.
Yeah, I know, but it's still funny.
What was the other one?
Did I ever mention that Johnny Cash is my cousin? That just killed the room.
Is there a punchline there?
No. Like seriously, like Johnny Cash is my cousin.
Like your second cousin?
Yeah, or? Like something down the line.
Yeah, I'm like the same way with Pedro Fernandez.
My grandma grew up with June Carter in the farm.
Oh, no,
so it's like not by blood, but by marriage.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
dang.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. Got a legend over here, folks.
So he's like going through a divorce because he had a million kids with another person or something like that. And he's all fucking crying and shit. And he walks into the room and they're all doing coke. He's like, what's going on in here? Like, it's happened already 3-4 times in the movie. And they're like, we're doing coke. We're doing coke, Dewey. And he's like, what to do? He's like, it takes all your bad feelings and turns them into good feelings. He gets into, like, heavy rock after that,
of course.
All right, so I believe the answer is, yep, get into WoW, man.
Or Monster Hunter World. Those both grindy games that are really fun.
Yeah, yeah. WoW's going to be around a little longer. You might as well plant your flag in that one. I don't know. It's a great time, especially because we're at the start of an expansion. It is literally the best time.
What is your... What's keeping you away from Monster Hunter World? Are you even being interested? Like, you can play off my account.
I could probably get into it, but it would be an effort.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm back to work now, and WoW just came out. I knew this would happen. Like, I've been saying this for weeks. Like, it's all happening at once. The International's happening. WoW came out. I'm back to work. Like, dude, I'm not around, man. I'm checked.
Baby, do you want,
out.
Baby. Bobby, do you want to build a website, by the way? Do you have the time?
Jesus.
No, probably not, right?
No. Okay. I'm actually in the middle of another side job, too. Okay. Like, I'm fucking stacked right now. It sucks.
All right.
All right, next question from Cricket Soldier. When is the next DLG game night? It was last night. Nobody showed up. Where were you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it was Friday night. Was it Friday night? Saturday night? It was both nights, I think.
Yeah. We need a game, and we need to announce it like a week or two in advance.
We definitely do need to do Tabletop Sim, because that's an awesome
but everyone resource. Like that game.
That's what it is.
Yeah, we could definitely do like a six-man... what's that game called? The game you were playing, Munchkin? You could do like 6 to 8 people playing that game all at once. Yeah,
super cool.
That makes it more fun.
Dude, we were playing with a guy that never played before, and me and the other guy were just going back and forth, and the other guy's just having a terrible time.
Yeah.
And we get ahead. We're in like room 6, and he's still in room 2. It was Kurt. And Kurt fucking just, he was lying to us the whole time about what was in his hand, and he just waited for one big move. And fucked us. He waited until we were in both fighting the same monster, threw four monsters on top of that monster. And then, like, I dropped my hand because I'm dropping my hand and he's dropping his hand and the other guy's dropping his, sniper's dropping his hand. We have 20 cards on in play. And at the end, he won. So what happens?
He gets all those levels from all the dead monsters.
Dude, it was awesome.
Oh, my God. Yeah, did he win?
We had to go after that. But we said by, like, just spiritually, he won the game because that was the sickest move ever.
That's so awesome. Sick.
Yeah.
Can't flip the board in Tabletop Simulator, can you?
You can.
No, you can.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I know that's come out. That came up like a year ago when we talked about this game, and I always forget that.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
All right, next question. Curd the Ape, just talking about you. What was the last single-player game that made you want to 100% complete it or otherwise spend more time with it after seeing the credits, DLC excluded? What was it about that game that hooked you?
Fallout 3. I played all the DLCs, and they were bad. They were not good. But I was so hooked at it. I hooked on the game because it was such a masterpiece in my eyes. I hadn't even modded it. I don't even know if mods were a thing back then for it. Yeah, I remember paying repeatedly up to 3 mods. Like, I mean, DLCs. The first DLC was shit. And then I bought the second one. And then I bought the third one. I played them all the way through. And the whole time I was like, these aren't good, but it's continuing the story. So that's my answer.
I want to say Moonlighter, but there's nothing to do after you beat that game. There's like no reason to go back and
play. You wish there was more.
I do wish there was more. And I don't know what it was that hooked me about that game. I think it kind of appealed to the addictive side of me where I just want to complete everything. Yeah. And I don't know. I really liked that game, but it was just like I hit the end and it was just like a brick wall. And I knew right there I was never going to touch this game again. I was going to check it off the list, uninstall it, and...
That's literally the opposite of what he's asking, right?
Yeah, but I don't know. That was a game where I wanted more, but it wasn't even that they didn't have more. It was just the way the game was designed. I'm trying to think of a game where I got to the end. I'm like, I'm ready for round two. Because usually, like, DLC, I never play.
Well, you have one Dead Cells, right? I mean, you're ready to go in round two, right?
Yeah, I mean, that game is kind of meant to be played more than once. So, like, once you beat it, you have to do... Mm-hmm.
Like, you haven't really beat it. I've heard, too.
Yeah, I've heard that. Oh. Don't want to talk about that game. What was I going to say? It's Rayman Legends for me. I remember playing it on, it was like on some portable console, but I remember like I beat the game and then there's like optional things like you can go around the world finding all these, I think they were like teeth. And once you give the teeth all to this toothless reaper, once you like fill his mouth up with teeth, he unlocks a special harder speedrun stage. That's like you can only get to stage by...
Did
like,
you do it?
Yeah. I think this is the only game I've ever... 100% completed that involved.
Time.
It wasn't a second time. It was just a completely different level.
Oh, gotcha.
And required you to do collectibles because I fucking hate collectibles. But this game made it worth it. It was like this really awesome, fun speedrun level that's really difficult. It took me like 30 tries to beat it, but it was so fun.
That's good. I like your answer. I'll accept it.
Moonlighter was fairly... Someone's asking if Chad, if Moonlighter was short. It was... I think I spent 16 hours on it, and you could probably beat it in less than that. But it's not a short game, but it's not a long game. And there's definitely not more content than that.
People wonder how much I drink per episode. I probably had... I had 2 beers and 6 ounces of whiskey so far.
So far. That's it, right? We're at the end of the episode, nearly.
Pretty good for starting at noon.
Yeah.
Let's see. Sniper asks, did Quadaneros change his name to match his pod racer, or did he make his pod racer 4 engines to match his name?
I think it's the latter.
I think it's his stage name. I think that's like an idea he had. And he's like, I'm going to be the quad guy. I'm going to be 4. That's my number.
Okay, stage name. That works perfectly. Yeah. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Wait.
He just had a 4 engine pod racer.
He had a 4 name. And so he bought a 4.
Pod. No, he probably has a different engine, name.
Is what you're saying?
Yeah, he probably had a different name, and he's just like, I'm going to, you know, I got to have an angle for my act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I think that works perfectly. Yeah. He has a stage name, and it works well with his pod racer.
Yeah, crazy. No, he's fucking, this is what he does for a living.
So he was just born with the name Quadaneros, and then he found a pod racer that had 4.
He built from the ground up his own. It's like Shelby. He races Shelby for Mustangs.
Okay.
Right?
I guess.
He does.
Yeah.
Or he did.
I mean,
before he died. And then funny thing about him is the entire time he's talking, it's all Spanish. It's sped up, but it is fast. He's like, so when he's
talk about?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
When he's yelling at his little dudes, his little robots, he's going, ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa?
Oh, okay.
Like really fast, which means what's happening, what's happening, what's happening. And then another part where he was like, and Sam even said it, like without me saying, she was like, he's just speaking Spanish and it's supposed to be alien. I was like, yeah, yeah, that's what it is.
He says illegal alien.
This is true. You can't run four engines.
Oh, boy.
So we're divided.
Yeah. You know what language they use a lot when, like, making fake languages? What is the language they speak in...
Gobbledygook.
No, is it Taiwan? I can't remember the name. Or not, Filipino. What are,
Tagalog?
Tagalog.
Tagalog, yeah. Yeah. They use that a lot when making fake languages.
Really? Right there.
That's what I've heard.
I can speak it pretty fluently. It's just like palangalangalangalangalangalang. Yeah, the more you have to say, the more alangs you put in.
All right.
Chad's wife loves that one.
All right.
I'm so rude. I can't even say that. All right, let's go. All right.
Question. Oh, this is from Has the Matt. Question for mainly Bobby. All right. What is it, what do you think, that brings people back to WoW? Every expansion has excitement behind it that rivals any base game's launch date.
That was like 10 times longer. I cut it down a bit.
But why do people keep coming back to WoW? Because it's a great game that they're constantly updating. They're constantly learning from their mistakes or figuring out what doesn't work and what does. And they're just going off of that. I think people come back in during the expansions because the way that they're doing it now, it's more like seasons of, like, say, Diablo. Like, when a new season starts, that's the time to get in, you know, from the ground up. That's when things are happening. Let me give you an example here. Actually, not even an example. Let me explain what happened with Legion. Legion comes out, and you get one weapon, and that's the weapon you have throughout all of Legion. That's your weapon, and you upgrade that weapon. So instead of you leveling your character up, you're doing that as well in different ways, but you're also just trying to, like, unlock stuff for your weapon, and that gets better and better. Now Legion's over with, weapon's useless, on to the next thing. You know, now you have other pieces of armor, like they're doing head, chest, I think wrist. Like, there's a few pieces of armor that you level up, and also your necklace. That's the thing that kind of levels up with you. So it's... I think there's a big amount of new content that people also want to want to experience, but they've gotten a lot better about just letting that drip in throughout the release, because they found, like, a lot of people come back for the expansion, they get burned out on it, and then they're over it. So now they're like, okay, we need to pace this a little bit better and have stuff come out a little more incrementally.
Bobby,
so,
would you say you're addicted to WoW right now?
Yeah, but I could just, like, wake up tomorrow and be like, over it. That's what happened last time, and I'm kind of worried that I'm going to do that. But
so don't do that.
That's exactly what happened to me.
Well, what am I supposed to do?
Stop playing HOTS, please, for the love of God. For the love of God.
Wait,
are you talking about HOTS or WoW now?
That he'd be able to play WoW more regularly and without burning himself out if he was not playing HOTS.
Okay.
That's here's the thing. Like, WoW is, like, superseded HOTS right now. I didn't play any WoW or any HOTS yesterday. Actually, I did one AI game. I did my XP farm. At the same time, I was playing WoW, and I was running a dungeon, and it was really hard to do both of those at the same time. A lot of alt-tabbing, a lot of clicking on things. It was tough. It was stressful, and I was trying to eat a pizza at the same time.
Oh, jeez.
It was tough. It was a hell of a Saturday. It was... Yeah.
Emilio, somebody with that same notification settings getting real pissed off right now.
Yeah, dude, my volume's all the way down. There's a new update for, what are these called? These Google phones, but like
Pixel?
Android.
Okay.
Android phones, and I don't understand mine yet. I don't know how much more silent I can make it.
Press the gear wheel on that thing.
All right, we'll figure it out later. We're almost done. Let's wrap this up.
All right, that was the last of the questions. What are you guys going to be playing next week?
Let me say this real quick. I have somebody contributed, and I'll give the name next week, a free copy to Guild Wars 2 with the expansion pack.
Oh, damn.
I'm going to steal the expansion pack for myself and go back in there, because for me, that was the best MMO I've played in the last 5 years. So I'm going to go back into that with the expansion pack. But we do have a copy of Guild Wars 2 for somebody, so we'll give that away next week.
I'd agree with that. Like, second to WoW, of course. Probably the best MMO out there.
I say it's better than WoW, but just because of the graphics.
Yeah, well, a lot of people will disagree with you.
Yeah, definitely don't care.
Junior, what's your plan?
Probably Monster Hunter. I'm sure I'll be playing Monster Hunter. I said, this will be...
I feel like you're not as far as you think you are.
No, I know. I know exactly where I am.
They said, it's Elder Dragon time.
Yeah, it's basically, there's three Elder Dragons. I've killed two of them.
Oh, wow.
Then I got one more to go.
Maybe they all form into a super Elder Dragon.
Oh, God, I hope. Megazord Dragon?
Megazord. There's a new fucking Power Rangers coming out.
Yeah.
Beast something.
Yeah.
Beast Wars?
Something, yeah.
What were you going to ask, Bobby?
How many hours do you have in that game?
45.
Oh, okay.
40 sounds about right.
That's
50 hours.
Yeah, that's... I'm surprised I've been putting that much time into it, because I've only played it 4 days. Is that... Yeah, 40. I played it 4 days, because I only played it Friday and Saturday.
Dude.
Didn't play it Sunday of last week.
All right. I've had enough about your complaints. You walked in here like a fucking zombie saying that you were tired of the desert. But really what's happening is you're playing too many fucking video games.
Yeah, well, that, and I told you about my roommate having like six kids over and them screaming. So
all right.
I stay up late and then I get woken up.
You got wrinkles coming in, bro.
Bro, I know. I've been moisturizing with Nivea cream and some man juice, and it's rough.
Damn.
It's rough.
Yeah, he said man juice.
You got to use a special type of moisturizer for your face. It's expensive as shit. But, dude,
I'm probably
now that I use it, I'm like, oh, my God, dude. Like, if I go out the door without that, like, it ruins my day.
What is it called?
I can't remember.
Can you?
My girlfriend buys it for me because I don't. It's expensive. It's like $35 for, like, a bottle like that.
You can help me out, though, right? Because I definitely have been noticing my face is getting fucked up in the
desert. I forgot. And you only need a little bit, too. But it fucking changes the game.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll figure out what it is.
Cool.
I'm going to be playing more WoW. I'm going to try. I got to knock this shit off and get back to HOTS too. Because what happened last time with Legion is I played so much WoW, I started getting bad at HOTS. So I'm going to have to correct that.
You're already terrible.
Yeah.
How's that? So what you've been playing lately is you've been in the Diplo?
Well, they have the in-house, which is either Saturday or Sunday every week, and that's just a bunch of people. Any skill level can come in and play, and they throw you on a team.
Okay, fuck that shit. Okay, what's the other one?
The league is NGS, Nexus Gaming Series.
And you're taking the best players from the Diplo community and making a team? Is that what that is?
We're all Diplo.
It'd be great if you could explain all this shit to us, and then we would.
Yeah, well, we represent Diplo, so five people in that Diplo community formed a team.
Who picked the team?
Nobody really picked the team. We just kind of came together. So last season we were on a different team. Some people broke off. We grouped up with others.
Okay.
Yeah. Now we have a new team.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you should make your own team if you want to do well in this NGS.
I don't know about that.
All right.
We're doing okay. We're playing in the hardest league, but yeah, that's going on. Sniper usually messages that out in our Discord server. And also, speaking of Diplo, they've got a new website.
I remember Sniper was working on that for like months.
Yeah. He's been working on it for a long time, and I think he's just completed it. And
Sniper, that means we can play some more, Divinity Original Sin. You got no excuse.
Except for you in the desert.
He has no excuse. Not me.
Yeah. Okay. As long as someone's got an excuse. But they've got a page now that features streams, and I think we are on there too. So if we get any random people from Diplo, hey, welcome.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So let's wrap this bitch up. Speaking for Bobby, Minnie, and I already said Bobby, so myself. Diplo Union titties. Everyone, bye-bye.
That's the best you've ever said that word. Diplo Union.
It's not that odd.
Not today. It was pretty cool.